Sri Ganjri Demato
Greetings, ladies and gentle germs. It is time for the much anticipated, long awaited crossover episode between the Fly With Bats and the Your 30 podcast, where they mush together, get together, and they talk about the melanin goodness that is Black Panther. We got Mr. Bat, spell it Mr. Outer, you won't find it. We got the Arrogant Observer, and we also have yours truly, Marte, and we about to jump on into the review of Black Panther. Happy listening, everybody, and Wakanda forever! White boy for us to fix.
$500 million worldwide in a week.
Yes,
that's like unprecedented shit.
Well, I do just want to say this.
Okay, go ahead.
With $500 million. Well, actually, at four hundred million dollars at the end of the weekend. It was, of course, a long weekend. That makes right. it the fifth largest opening of all time. And the largest grossing black movie ever made.
But I thought black people didn't sell overseas, Arrogant Observer.
Oh, no.
People can't sell unless we're in America with the fried chitlin circuit. Unless it's crime and Tyler Perry. Mm-hmm. I thought black people couldn't sell Arrogant Observer.
Actually, it beat out 1988's Coming to America, was the highest-selling black movie ever made.
Coming to America really was.
Yes.
Yes, D.
$281 million opening weekend. Yeah. For 1988, that's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Man. That's ridiculous. It's just
but incredible. Now the highest-grossing black movie ever made is Black Panther.
So now we can badger or... Okay, how about this? Disney has to eat a good bit of crow because I remember back during... What was it? Age of Ultron. Where we
Walt Disney is willing to eat crow.
Is he? Yeah, of course.
As long as the crow is not Jews.
Right, yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah. But you're terrible. But
do I remember I'm not the one that eats Jews. Walt Disney is.
Yeah, very true. We had to beg them.
You can't call him terrible and then say very true after he said it.
Very true. You're terrible.
I'm terrible.
But we had to beg them to make this movie. And going through a whole bunch of loops and jumps and whatnot, somehow we got here. And not only did we get here, we got here in a big, bad fucking way.
You gotta already know, too. Remember this. Wesley been trying to get this movie made since the 90s.
Very yeah.
Good. You know, and then it was supposed to be Desmond Hansu was supposed to be Black Panther for a long time.
Oh, Shimon wow, really? Hansu? Really?
Yeah. You went in the, like, late 90s. Yeah, I'm going to say in the early 2000s, he was going to... Yeah. That's going to be voices the character in that BET Reggie Hudlin cartoon and miniseries that was out for a minute. Because he was the main person. Because after Wesley became Blade... Because there's a thing. Wesley went to Disney to talk about a Black Panther movie. I mean, not Disney, Marvel. That's what Disney owned Marvel. But yeah, Wesley went to Marvel thinking he's going to get a Black Panther movie, and basically, you know, you wound up with Blade. And that, but then it was
if somebody, he had did that today, he could do both.
Yeah, he's having Thanos, right? But, yeah. Like, yeah, definitely what happened was Jermaine Hansu was freaking attached to be him for, like, years. Years. He basically aged out of the role because it took so long for it to come.
Well, yeah, I mean... And back in the days when Jamin Hansu was popping, okay, of course, everybody. Especially 40-year-old black women, because let's be real. 40-year-old black women love Jamin Hansu. Right. They love Idris Elba. They love Denzel Washington.
Dude, he was going to be Black Panther. And a piece of me really was hoping that they'd let him come and be T'Chaka. Like, for Civil War, I was like, ooh, if they show T'Chaka, that would be so fire. If Overlast Your Mind would be T'Chaka, and I'll rock with that. But you know,
yeah.
That
ain't gonna
work. But the casting was pitch perfect for both old and young T'Chaka. I'll just say that.
Yeah,
young T'Chaka looked like Chadwick.
He looked just like Bozeman. Like, right? even though the both T'Chakas are father and son.
Yeah,
but
that is true.
That is very true.
I heard that was a rumor. No, that was for real.
That's okay, true. Fair enough. True.
So now we can. So now we can. Can we now talk? Well, I guess we'll wait till we get to the movie.
But T'Chaka, yeah, but like you said, the young T'Chaka and right. Chadwick Boseman. Oh my God!
They spitting images of each other.
Man, that was beautiful casting with that one.
Definitely, man.
And definitely getting the little Whitaker to be Forrest Whitaker.
That's what we was about. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, okay, yeah. So yeah. All right, man. We've come a long way from Great Debaters. Yeah, we've come a long way. First, little Denzel. Good to see him again. Good to see you, young brother.
First of all, that boy is quite older.
Yeah, he's quite. Yeah.
I keep on forgetting. Great Debaters.
Got some city miles on him.
Damn it.
He does. Like, it took me a minute to realize it was him.
Realize, so after the fact, I just kept staring at the boy like, why does this boy look familiar?
I know, right?
He was like fat. He was like a little plump kid,
right? Yeah, he was. Right.
So I'm looking at his face like, I know this kid. I came from somewhere.
When I saw him the second time, I was like, that's Denzel Whitaker from Great Debaters.
Mm-hmm.
He dropped a couple of pounds.
He dropped some pounds.
Yeah, yeah.
That's that baby some weight. He's just a baby. He's a kid before, so you know. That's how it happens.
But no, it was good to see. It was just like this great casting all around, and that was like a huge surprise.
Should we actually introduce ourselves?
Maybe that might be a good idea.
Yeah, so what's that sound? You hear that music? Is it outside?
Yeah, that's music from outside. But this is just me, you know, messing with
Mr. Is sipping on his tea. Spilling.
Okay. So yeah, man, so this is another crossover with the Fly With Bass podcast and the Your 30 podcast.
Woo!
We in this motherfucker to give the official review for Black Panther. Y'all, we gave it time already. The regular Black Panther cast. The regular Fly With Bass podcast. Shouts out to the, Arrogant Observer. Shouts out to D-Mac and Alpha Joe.
You hear me? Doesn't matter.
And Raheem came with us. You know, we did our first reaction podcast after just seeing the movie.
I'm still not finished with that episode.
Yeah, no. We went in. You dig? Right, and that was our first take. But now I've got the chance to see the movie another time on this another 2/3. I saw the movie for the second time, man, today, and I had to leave early. I had to leave the movie over early because it ran too close to my radio show. So I left right when Wakabi
bitch. Shout out to the Misbelief.
Yes, that was really great show. But I left right when Wakabi bitch ass had all his troops up surrounding the his woman. And then he telling his woman, like, you have 3 seconds. And then you know the Jafar tribe, like, yeah, we're here. Not to leave right there. And I was like, oh, ain't this a bitch. So if you haven't caught the drift by now, this is going to be spoiler full.
Love of God, watch this movie. If you're black, 9 times out of 10, you've already have watched this movie.
Mm-hmm. The amount of money it's made, it's like you've already seen it. And it's already been out for a week now.
Only a week.
And I've tried
to go see longer.
I tried to go see it twice today. Three times. Mm-hmm. All sold out. So you've probably already seen this movie. Mm-hmm. More than likely. But either way, we're going to tell you why you should go see it in great detail.
Or if you don't want to go see it, then we can just, you know, spoil everything. You can just feel like you saw it.
We're going to get you there, baby.
Somewhere in the world, there's going to be one person who hasn't seen this movie.
That's black.
And will listen to this and drop to their knees and look up to the sky and scream no, because they don't want to be spoiled.
Well, they better curse Bast.
Yeah.
Get mad at Bast for that. God damn it. So, this is the actor guy, Martin Bast. Brad, you can find me on all your social media platforms at Mr. Bat. Spell that Mr. Outer, you ain't gonna find me. And I'm the representative of Fly With Bats podcast in the building. You hear me? But I'm passing the mic over to, you know, my brothers over here. What's jam, yo?
All right, first up on the mic, Marty here, your favorite host from Your 30, kicking it to my brother to the right.
Really? Okay. Hey, mm-hmm. Hello, folks. This is Lawrence Webber, your arrogant observer, also known as the Misadventures of the Black Musical Theater Kid. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, okay. and Tumblr. I am SoulBoy30. Check me out on Snapchat. That is LWebber584. If anybody is on fucking Snapchat anymore, fuck that update.
People are leaving it in droves.
Yeah. Also, check me out on arrogantobserversrants.blogspot.com. The cat enjoys his musical theater just as much as I do.
People left Snapchat like she sent a notification and she was pregnant.
Okay, there obviously needs to be a damn safe word for this. Apparently.
Yeah.
Because you want to drop bad pregnancy jokes.
I mean, the safe word should have started on y'all last episode when, spoiler alert, Marty Edwards was like he wasn't feeling the movie that much. No. We're going to get into that shit on this episode. I was like, you blessed fiend. I was like, what? What?
I knew you out of here. I was like,
no, Marty.
Gonna like
he froze.
This.
He froze.
Like an antelope in there.
And it would be, this is a week that we have a bye week for Black Lightning.
Yeah, I know.
So it's like, I'm like, yo, I'm going to talk to this motherfucker about some motherfucking Black Panther, goddammit. And he ain't even feeling it.
It's not that I'm not feeling it, no.
Thank God, I'm not behind.
Yeah, you're not behind. We didn't have a new episode this week.
Yeah,
so.
No, the way, you're right, yeah. But, my thing
pause, the only other podcast I'm shouting out for today is going to be the Reviewing That Lightning podcast. Catch me and Marty on that mug with Jay Steele, you know, and watch Black Lightning as well. But go what you're saying, Marty.
Because it's so damn good.
It's so freaking good.
It is, man.
Even when it's bad, it's good.
Right, exactly.
Because there been, I might have to change my score maybe like the last two episodes, because you know what I mean? It has, like, the first two to three were amazing. Yes. The last two were... They have their moments, but they're still pulling it together, but it's still a great show. But that's not what we're here to talk about.
I did not need to see Jill Scott embalming a random nigga.
I did.
I kind of did.
That's one of my highlights.
I needed more of that.
That's one of my highlights.
Can I get that double time on Sunday?
Oh, my God. I've never seen anyone get embalmed alive, but spoilers. Yeah. Anyway, Mark, you were saying something, dude.
Yeah, so I was saying that my opinion has evolved on the film since the last time. Like, I've had a little bit more... I haven't had actual time to sit down and watch the whole thing. But in terms of,
about it.
I daydreamed about it, watched a couple clips. Like, actually, surprisingly, if you go on YouTube, you can virtually kind of watch the whole movie if you piece the shit together. Because if you know what you're looking for, yeah, oh, fucking right. Like, you can just piece the shit together because all the clips are virtually there for the most part, they are. Now, granted, not the whole entire movie, but I have. Enough, I feel.
As soon as you said that, Lawrence just gave you a look like, you motherfucker.
Well, here's what I'm going to say, though. Here's
he ain't going to like nothing about this, then.
Here's the thing.
Both of you niggas froze.
There's so many great moments in the movie.
I'm the only one that didn't. I never freeze.
There's so many great moments in this movie. I still hold tight to that feeling. I didn't love it, but I liked it a lot. I had a really good time. That's all I got. Yeah,
you try telling that to your old lady.
Ah,
I don't love you, baby. But I
like you
a lot.
I like you a whole lot.
Get the fuck out.
That's the quickest way to have her not be your lady. That's breakup words right
so
there.
So how y'all want to get into this, man? this jar right here. Initial thoughts. Are we going to go characters? How you going to go? How, bro? Because... Oh my God, what a freaking masterpiece of a situation. This is like the perfect storm, the way that everybody came together and it's become a movement in and of itself. Like, our Wakanda Facebook group feels like going to Wakanda itself whenever I get on. This is like nothing but just this almost like this coming together of Black people right now. And you can just do this to a motherfucker. They do it back
and they know, right. Like,
they know what
it's universal.
Is.
I did it to my boss.
Oh, hold on. And for people, I forgot, this is audio. We're talking about the Wakanda sign. Right. Like, Wakanda forever when you cross your wrist. And if you've seen the movie, what the fuck we're talking about? If you haven't seen the movie, sucks for you. You probably, you know, of the
colonizer. You can be a part of it now.
Now, yeah.
Colonizer. No, you must go.
You must go. And I think it's so amazing.
What are those?
We have taken over an emoji. An emoji is now being repurposed. It used to be this, but it's been repurposed. It now means Wakanda forever.
Right.
Yes.
I didn't even know that existed until you sent it to me. I was like, I gotta find that
shit. I'll just give a few initial thoughts.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like, what were your expectations going in? Yeah, what were the initial thoughts?
First off, I expected it to be Black.
Wait, hold on. Let me ask you one thing. Are you a Marvel movie watcher, or is this like... an anomaly in your
This is an anomaly for me because I'm not a regular. I'm gonna watch this one and then move this one over and watch this one too. And I've not seen the Avengers. I have not seen Age of Ultron.
Ironically enough, though, we went to see the Incredible Hulk together.
Did
you see Civil War when he was first introduced?
Nope.
So you didn't get the white broken white boy line then.
No, I didn't get the broken white boy line, but I did find it hilarious.
I know it's still universal. It doesn't matter for black people, it still doesn't matter. Oh, because we're always fixing y'all motherfuckers. But that was a real shout out to a character that did.
So I will of course be representing those who watched this separate of, but I know for a fact that with all Marvel movies, you don't fucking get up until the lights come back on.
Well, so you saw the other white voice he fixed.
Stinger.
Yeah.
Yeah, even though you're not an avid watcher, you know that
it's part of the culture, the routine. You don't leave.
Right.
Fair enough.
And there were people walking out, and I'm like, why are y'all walking out? What the hell is wrong with you?
Me too.
Sit your ass back.
Now, granted, I saw it at 10:30. I just thought some folks were just like, well, you know what, we're just not going to say. We'll catch it on the internet or something like that. But I saw the people left in my theater too. Did people leave in yours?
Yes. They froze.
That's crazy.
Yes.
As opposed to me, which I never freeze.
Oh my god. But did you have high expectations? Are you like a Ryan Coogler fan?
First of all, I love Ryan Coogler's work.
Yes. He's hitting all
second
hits.
Second of all,
he's hitting all hits. You go from Fruitvale to Creed to this, all hits. Like, what the fuck?
And they've only earned more money with each one. Yes. Like, and
also, what makes it just, like, happy inside is that if you ever listen to Ryan Coogler, Ryan Coogler has the heaviest of Oakland accents I've ever heard. Y'all remember Jamal? That's like Jamal times 12.
Avon Jamal.
Mm-hmm.
Shouts out to you.
Jamal times 12. Mm-hmm. He had the heaviest Bay accent. It's like he spent the first 5 years of his life just listening to nothing but E-40 records. He's got the heaviest accent. I'm like, this is us.
Yeah.
This is us that somebody put on.
Yeah.
So if he can do it, goddammit, I can do it too.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Ryan Coogler's
a nigga.
Is a straight up nigga.
You know what I'm saying? And that's really amazing that you've given these opportunities. But I can say given, earned, because
he has amazing writing skill. Because before I saw Fruitvale, I read Fruitvale. Okay. So I was like, wow. And I'm sitting up there at my computer, like, in tears. I'm like, why the hell am I in tears? I'm not watching the movie. I'm literally reading it. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. Are you all right? I'm okay. I'm fine.
You fell into the trap of Fruitvale.
Shit!
You know, somebody said something. I can't remember who it was. It might have been on the read. But, like, it's like you go into that movie knowing exactly what's going to happen at the end.
Yeah,
I still get fucked up.
I said on Fly With Bass recently as well.
Or maybe that was you then.
Because I said, because the thing is, even though you go in knowing the ending, you get, that's called the trap of Fruitvale.
It might have been you then.
You just listening. You mean you just watching a person's life, a regular dude's life, and you get caught up in the story of just him being a regular nigga. And then, even though, and then when he gets to the stage, a piece of you is almost like, I hope he doesn't die. Even though you know the motherfucker ain't gonna die.
And it's like, and you bawl, and it's like, because it turns to some real shit. Because remember we were talking about that guy that got locked in I was telling you guys about that guy that tried to rob this place, but then he got locked in there.
Yeah,
and he started shooting and begged and all that stuff. But it's like, it turned into a real moment because it was just like, I don't know, those final moments where he's just like, you know, I gotta... You know, I have a daughter and all this other stuff. Like, like the things that are going through his mind in those final moments for him and stuff. And it's whatever. I don't know. Coolest, it still breaks me down. Every time.
Attention to details. Yeah, and when you say attention to details, it's not even just about the fact, like, you know, he got, you know, like this proper poster that represents Oakland on the back of the wall in one of the shots. I mean, even just your attention to details, even to say, have this guy say, I have a daughter, and make sure that line is in the motherfucking film so you can feel it because you just felt him kicking it with, you know what I mean? As a person, he's great. He's an amazing storyteller.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Ava turned it down to basically do A Wrinkle in Time, so I'm glad he picked it up and did it justice. Definitely.
And like I said, there's a video up here of him basically breaking down the South action Korean scene, the yes. South Korean action scene. Right. And the one thing that he said was he just sat in his room, had a 3D printed set, which I'm going to find a way to fucking do anytime I direct. He's like, somebody 3D print set for me. And I'm just going to play with my playset. Grown up playset right there. And he just sat there and mapped the shit out. And even when you heard him say, okay, he's wearing this color. I was like, so T'Challa's wearing black and, what is it? Nakia is wearing green. And then you have, ooh, God.
You guys wearing red, but.
Yeah. Oh, like, and that's, and that's, Kouye, there you go. Yeah. And that's like, God, that was representing the Panther.
I just saw it again. So then you got to remember, I got you on all names. Yes.
He's like,
Black Panther.
Yeah.
I'm not the one. He's like, so he's like, that represented the Pan African flag. I'm like, damn.
Dude, he said he took from all kind of cultures. Like, my dude did his homework to produce this film. Like, he just made sure. Like, even when you watch it back, the fact how they go from English to freaking whatever African dialect that is.
The Jabari, if I'm not mistaken, speak Igbo, which is is more in Nigerian. The most Wakandans speak the language Xhosa. That's how you spell it. It is pronounced Hosa.
I know about Hosa. Yeah. I don't know how to spell it, though. Yeah.
You have to click it, so it's Hosa.
Yeah, I was in some play, and never mind. Keep going.
The one thing that I also like is the fact that even though they don't have the African dialect... For those of you who don't know or are not in acting, everybody knows the African dialect. It's literally black African. It usually speaks like this.
Yes.
Which usually is more derivative of Nigerian accents.
Because that's only what we know.
Apparently, that's the only one that they know is Nigerian accents.
And that's the only one they show in Hollywood.
Now, most Wakandans are a little lighter, and they speak more like this, and that's more of a South African accent. If you ever listen
to... Ooh, like when Nakia say, T'Challa. I like
when you say, T'Challa. If you ever really listen to them, if you listen to T'Challa, Chadwick Boseman took a lot from many South African people. If you hear him at the very end, he actually sounds like Nelson Mandela. If you really listen to him, listen to Nelson Mandela, you'd be like...
And the thing is, I knew he was adamant about creating his own unique spin on the dialect because, you know, the fact that Wakanda's never been, you know, colonized.
Yeah.
And they talk about it, like, Lupita was just on one of them talk shows talking about that's going to be, you're going to see no perm hair because they didn't get that influence. Like, everybody got natural hair. And he was saying there's certain things about their world that they want to make very apparent that, no, white people never set foot here. This is it. This is what would happen if just straight from Africa, black people just would ascended. You feel me? Even down to the accent. So we're not even trying to have any hints of that whiteness, really, in our shit, because this is not what it's about, because that wouldn't even be Wakandan, elitist or not, and that's been a debate as well. But anything on... Look, we're still in the beginning on this shit, because, you know, we about to delve in, but anything else? Anything else?
Just high expectations, man. I'm a fan of... I think we all are, actually. We stated just a fan, big fan of Ryan Coogler, and the combination of Michael B. Jordan as well.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Them two niggas are gonna take over Hollywood, I swear.
They will. Another thing too, this movie just had a huge amount of hype to live up to for me.
It just did, man. And one beautiful thing about this movie, I must say, no, finish it up.
No, that's all. You know, just that with all the hype and everything, just it had a lot riding on it for me. And overall, you know, we'll talk about it, but you know, it just, there was a lot behind this
for me. Yeah, man, because I've been a Black Panther fan for years.
Also, the fun thing about it is, and you said it in the initial review you did, this started out of a meme of like three guys in like these shiny African clothes. It's like, what we're gonna do at the premiere of Black Panther?
Oh yeah,
we thought it was a fucking
joke,
but
yeah.
Lo and behold, there were tons upon tons of people who went in dashikis, yes. who went in all black.
Wait, pause. Now, who are you talking about? y'all show, in your last episode, you called somebody something. What was
I call him Ryan Coogler.
Who you call Ryan Coogler?
That dude in the suit in the, all the way to the right.
Oh, my dude, that? Beautiful Brian.
Yeah, that dude.
Because I'm thinking, I was like, who the hell are you talking about that picture? Because our squad, we went like L-Dub, like Lawrence was saying, and like that, our whole squad went in different African attire as well.
It was
and
dope. I said funny. It. Was. I dug. No, that's why I was like, I dug the pick. I was like, no. So we've got to now. We've got to give out awards for this because that was no. I just thought it was dope, dog. But oh boy, I looked at it. And I'm like. Oh shit, is that Ryan Coogler in the corner?
When I heard that episode, you said, look at Ryan Coogler in the corner. I said, for best, oh, I can't wait to get them in person so I can see who is he talking about? I'm lost here. You hear me? What you say, Lars? Do I cut you off?
So it just, I personally went to the, in my dashiki. I went from work in my dashiki. I had the dashiki in the car.
He was a real one. He was ready.
Yeah. I had African print pants with this fire ass black. We was all fresh. That boy D-Mac had this purple freaking kingly looking motherfucking thing, with the hat. It was a beautiful thing. Bro. It felt like unity because it's like, as like I always say this, dog, black Americans, we're the orphans of history, bro. So it was so great to actually feel like connected to those roots that we often feel so disconnected from, and that was one of the themes and through lines of the movie, which also elevated so many parts of the movie up as a story, just watching as a black person, son, because that fight, just the overall, with Killmonger on and with T'Challa on, that fight is the inner struggle of the black freaking man in America, son. It's ridiculous. But yeah, right. Well, I guess we're getting into it.
let's jump right into it right now. How did y'all feel about that opening the little animation thing? Like, I'm not gonna lie to you, I was like, oh shit, I feel like they're throwing a light at me right now.
Did you catch the first time that's Killmonger as a kid talking to his dad, asking him, tell me about home, blah blah blah, blah blah?
No.
Yes, that's who it was. Because the very first time I saw it, I thought that was T'Challa for some reason. You know, people were murmuring and talking. I thought that was T'Challa for some reason, and just telling some kid. That he had an American accent. So by the time they got to the end of the movie, you see T'Challa, you know, talk to the kid. I was like, I reasoned in my mind, oh, that must have been what the beginning was. But then I had to think, I said to myself, wait, but that's not that kid's home. So then I started wondering. So I even asked it in our Wakanda group, like, people said yes. And then when I watched it again today, yes, that is your boy. Who played his dad? I can't think of it. Come on, Orange, give me his name.
Sterling K. Brown.
It's Sterling K. Brown at the top of the movie's voice.
Which I was surprised at. This nigga is
He asked to be in the movie. When he saw us get down, he said, I know the shit already booked up, but look, just give me a partner and I'm about that shit.
How, though? I mean, like, this dude is literally everywhere.
He's the man.
Everything.
He's the man. He's the man.
He was in Marshall.
But... Yes, but like that's crazy that they started the story off with Killmonger as a child asking his dad to tell him about home that he's never seen, how that ties up, and then we get to the animation of, you know, the alien, you know, meteorite, whatever, coming full of vibranium and crashing into this spot that built up and shit. But yeah, it's trippy.
Right, the animation I thought was pretty dope. It was to be honest with you, I was focused on like trying to take in all the information because I was like, oh shit, I was like, oh shit, I gotta keep track of the other people. Okay, the other people go up there. Okay, cool. Oh shit, what's happening here?
I followed it nicely, man.
Yeah, no, I was just I don't know. In my head, I was like, I was making a big deal out of all of that, but like when it came down to it. You know, it's
a really good second watch. I'm going to tell you that. It's a really good second watch. It's a great
second watch. Yeah. And then we jump into, like, it also throws me off, too, when we jump. Did you have any thoughts on the opening or anything like that?
It gave me everything I needed.
Everything you needed. Mm-hmm. I like how we have a cold opening. Now we jump right into, where are that in the United States?
Oh, they go to Oakland, where the Black Panthers originated, also where Ryan Coogler's from.
Y'all familiar with how they, you know, of course, but everybody's familiar about how they were trying to distance the relationship between the comic book Black Panther and the actual Black Panther Party, like going to lengths of changing his name and stuff like
Black
that, right?
And all this
and
crap.
It's like, but not sort of being afraid this time around, sort of this spin or this
Ryan
incarnation.
Fuck that!
Yeah, so
Ryan
Coogler
just said, fuck that. It wasn't on Disney. Yeah. He chose that. That was straight up him shit.
But yeah, but like...
Because I said originally when he made that scene, it was supposed to be someplace else.
But do you think... Well, I don't know. Like, do you think that there was a big fight about that? That sort of thing.
No, I think Disney. I think Disney
open to that idea.
I think Disney. I don't think. First and foremost, I don't think they had. I don't think they made that connection. I don't think the white people at Disney made the connection that, oh, the Black Panthers.
You think so?
I don't think so. I think they just think, because the thing is,
okay, fair enough.
Ryan is from Oakland.
Yeah.
So them people probably, them colonizers just probably was like, he just wanted to put some of this on town, cool, whatever.
He just wanted to go home. Yeah.
And after it's already done, it's like, yeah, all these connections come out, so now you gotta own it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I don't think if you would have sent that question up to the top, they would have come back with, nah, we don't want any connection to the Panthers, because they're gonna fuck up our money, because they didn't see it coming like this. Maybe it was gonna make money, but there's no way they could have known it was gonna make money like this. This nigga.
Yeah, I mean, like, this was beyond my, like, greatest expectations for this.
Right, ridiculous. You know, and it's something, I will say this again, there's something very poignant about seeing a spaceship flying over the hood in Oakland, son, and these black kids looking up at a spaceship that got these advanced black people in it. Like, that shit was just a cooler moment to me, son. Just even the simplicity, son. Like, even at the top, you know, it starts off with Sterling Creek. And, like, when I watched it the second time, was it in Jobo? He running it with young Zuri, who is Denzel Whitaker, and like he's, you know, setting up his plans and shit, and then, you know, he hears the spaceship.
Y'all dead wrong for the eye comment.
Hey.
What?
Well, hey, that boy does look like Forrest, though.
They know it.
I was wondering if it was a CGI situation, though. Lil Whitaker really got the eye, but they both got the eyes. The Whitaker eye.
Denzel Washington saw it, and so did Ryan. Like, it's like, come on, man. You got old Forrest Whitaker, man. You gotta have young little Whitaker.
Little Whitaker and his motherfucker.
Young Whitaker.
And, like, you know what I mean? The people, the dumb, like, he hears the spaceship land. He said, put the guns up. You know what I'm saying? And then the Grace Jones looking chick, Dora Milaje. Oh, I love that Dora Milaje, son. And one thing I got to say, dog. Dog, all the cool things that you know about Black Panther came from black people, son. Because a lot of people like to say, I'm not going to see black people. Black Panther, that character was made by the white man. But, like, when you think about, like, the Dora Milaje, that was brought in by Christopher T. Priest and them, like Reggie Hudlin. Like, even Ta-Nehisi Coates is doing amazing things. I know that's the comics that you've been reading, right, Lawrence? Because I haven't even started the Coates runs yet. Like, I haven't jumped into them.
The fun thing about going to the Dolby Theater is they give you the first edition of the Ta-Nehisi Coates version of Black Panther.
Yeah.
Which is wild, because I was like,
I already had this. Yeah, I saw Snapchat. You was already starting to collect specifically the Black Panther joints in the Ta-Nehisi Coates.
I have that one. I also have Black, which...
the Black joint. Yeah, I'm about to start that comic. When black people get superpowers, right?
Yeah.
That needs to be a
movie. Start that too,
I was reading it in the store one day, and I was like, there's one part where they talk to a certain person who's like, what's your power? I can see 3 seconds into the future. I have to buy the whole thing.
Wait, that's Captain Extra.
Because Captain Extra can also see 3 seconds into the future.
Shout out to Talking Boomer's movie, Captain Extra. But anyway.
We got it. I've got the whole edition now, and they need to come out with a second one.
So go
hurry the hell up.
Go get Black. The comic book is when you get black people all even ones in superpowers. That's a crazy concept, right?
A nigga they couldn't kill.
So, like, they come in that dude, and, like, T'Chaka's Black Panther appears, and we got N'Jobo. And the thing is, N'Jobo, he say that real from the top of the movie. He like, man, I know I came over here as a spy. And they brothers, you know what I mean? As you already know, if you've seen this movie, he's going to be Killmonger father and T'Challa father. So, like, N'Jobo telling him, like, I came over here to America, and I see our brothers and sisters over here. Their leaders have all been killed. They're thrown in the projects. They're forced to sling drugs and stuff. They're getting thrown in jails, like, at a high rate. He's saying that real. He's like, they need our help. How can we turn our blind eye to our brothers and sisters over here? But I can't stand for it. You feel me? And, it comes out basically that N'Jobo helped Claw get some vibranium because he attacked Wakanda to get some vibranium so he could use it to help black people in America. And then once again, it sets up, which I always say, the two best villains are either the good guy turn bad, and you have to watch him turn bad, so you always got some kind of love for his ass, or the tragic villain that, damn, you have a point, you're just going about it wrong. And even before we get to Killmonger, his dad had a point in that first scene talking to T'Chaka. T'Chaka ignored that shit, you feel me? But he had a motherfucking point. And, son, so...
One that carries on, throughout. Like, it's a theme throughout.
Course, so you know, the way that they, of course, identify fellow Wakandans is there is, I guess, a glowing vibranium tattoo underneath their bottom lip.
Yes.
Which nobody would have thought. So just so you know, check your bottom lips, everybody.
Check your bottom lips,
check
everybody.
Check your bottom lips. Check them.
And that was such a fire con when, you know what I mean, to try to catch, you know, try catching Joby and he doesn't even realize young Zuri, Lil Whitaker, is a spy.
Yeah.
That was so cool. You know, he's like, this is my friend James. James is my best friend. He's my best friend. He can stay.
He can stay, yes.
He even though he was playing it off.
It's like, oh my God.
The second time in my fuck.
Yeah, oh man.
Because he plays it off so hard. He's the one who says there's these Grace Jones looking chicks outside the door. He's the one who's like, he don't even know to bow to the king. Like, he has to be told to bow. So he's playing it off so
beautiful. It's so in too deep. It's like an in too deep moment. Like, y'all ever seen In Too Deep with Omar Epps and LL Cool J? Like, your boy is so deep undercover at this point. He's like, he plays the part to a T. But, that whole entire scene, like, it kind of threw me off for a second, kind of starting here in America, which, are you serious?
Yes.
Well, he's kind of got me at school. Yes, yeah, good, all right. So, it kind of threw me off a little bit starting here in America, but, like, I dug it once we, you know, got into the scene and everything. I liked how they cut it off, and then we jump into the Marvel. We don't get the full extent of the scene. We just kind of, I guess.
So, technically, the spy shit came later. I think I jumped the gun, right?
You did jump the gun.
Okay. Well, no, that's all good. But anyway.
Keep in mind, we're going to keep
going. Yeah, we're gonna jump around, yeah.
We, of course, cut to... What is her name?
Okoye.
Okoye.
She's flying that fire-ass spaceship.
Okoye, leader of the Dora Milaje.
General, baby.
So, all right, everybody. Who favorite character right now? Who is it? Come on. Let's be honest. Come on now.
Okoye.
Everybody's got it. Okoye. All right. Who you got, man?
Depends on the day, bro.
I know, right? Today I'm going to say, though.
Sometimes I'm a Shuri man.
Killmonger, always. But today I'm feeling... What's the sister name?
Sometimes I'm a M'Baku. A sister of Shuri. Shuri,
mine.
She's today so adorable, son.
Yeah.
Letitia White, Letitia White. How do you pronounce that? Letitia or Letitia? It's spelled weird.
Letitia.
Letitia White. She stole a lot of scenes with just her natural, just warmth and just funny, just quirky, just charming. She's just so charming.
She's such a little sister.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
When she walks off and flips him off, I'm like, come on now.
And when he becomes king, and she's like, my king. He's like, go ahead.
There's a level of that sibling
chemistry,
annoyance.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Annoyance, yeah.
But also a level of respect there because, and love. You know,
and definitely love, because even in that first fight when, you know, for the ceremony to become king, before, I know we just skipped in the kids scene, but I'm just saying how... how she said, brother, keep the fight. Like, you know what I mean? She don't want to see her brother fucking lose. Like, she rides like, right. We gonna fight, but I'm your sister at the end of the day.
Yeah, blood.
Even though at the very beginning, she was like, who challenges?
Ooh. in that fight, when she raised her hand to possibly be the champs, I instantly thought about her Black Panther run, because you know she becomes Black Panther for a while in the comics.
Yeah, I heard that.
So, when she raised her hand, I was like, are they doing this shit this early? Yeah. Are y'all pulling this shit? But they just want to fuck with us, because what Marvel wants to do, because that's, once again, good writing. But like you said, Okoye, she's flying a spaceship because they want to go get Nakia, played by Lupita Nyong'o, and she was really great, too. She was really the hero of the story in many ways.
It was good to see her be light, like, for a change. I don't know if I've seen her, really. Lighter than,
lighter than slavery.
Well, there's a slave,
I'm trying to think of something else she's been in. I can't
really... She was in the Star Wars joint, but she was a voice.
Yeah.
And she was a voice in Jungle Book.
Yeah, like, does anybody have anything? Is anything coming to mind, anybody?
She was, like, a side character in this, like... airline
the
movie.
The Liam Neeson movie? That's what I was thinking too for like 2 fucking minutes. I know what you're talking about though. And it's like, didn't really make much of an impression for you there either, right? So it's like, I don't know, for me, having that big sort of thing kind of be, I guess, you know, 12 Years a Slave, which is terrible, I know. But that's kind of the only thing I really have, I guess. And to sort of see her kind of do this and sort of have different levels and kind of be fun, layers and stuff, kind of turning on to be the spy, it was hella fucking sexy.
And that's such a breakaway from the character in the comics. They did a lot of liberties in the comics with a lot of these characters. I said this on our last review, and you know, for people that didn't hear it, like, you know, the key in the comics, she becomes Malice, which is a villain. And the Dora Milaje in the comics are teenagers. And that's some shit they should change. I think they have changed it. And are Dora Milaje still teenagers in the Ten-Hazy Coast run?
No, they're older because in the Ta-Nehisi Coates, when I think of Koye, that, and that's why some people were tripping, of course. But that's Breitbart, and Breitbart are a bunch of fucking racists anyway. Because there's a... I can't remember who it's with, because it's been a while since I read it. Yeah, Okoye is falling in love with a woman. But here's the thing, and I've said it before, and I will say it again. Keep in mind, Wakanda is a place without colonization, which means that no colonization means no stigma on who you love. So, possibly... Perhaps Wakanda is a place where sexuality is fluid.
It's a freer place than we even want to give it credit for.
No, the thing is, in her original run, she wasn't gay, though. Like, that's what I'm saying.
What I'm saying is that she may not be... Once again, sexual fluidity is a thing. Sexuality is a spectrum. You can basically do whatever you want.
And the comics, you know what I mean? Her character is a badass because his main two Dora Milaje that was with him, at least when I first read him, was Nakia and Okoye. And Okoye is the level-headed one, the one that's like, boom, boom, boom. And Nakia got a thing for him. But she's too young. And the thing in the comics, Black Panther, he don't like... The Dora Milaje, the tribes offer up their daughters to be Dora Milaje in hopes of... He may choose one to be his wife. And that keeps some of the peace because they're thinking at some point he's going to choose one to be his wife. And then, you know what I mean? That's going to be royal blood, queen whoop de woo. And they be young, and so he don't ever give it. So he just has his all military force of these women and shit. So this, you know, young
ass. The ones that don't get chosen are expected to still serve.
In a way, for a while it was like that, but then they explore, like, one of them want to have a life outside of it, and, you know, they got out of that bullshit, but yeah.
Okay.
It was a subject of his times of, like, it seemed like these women just only became Doris, nigga, like, they ever got no other life, nigga, but even, I'm glad they showed it in the movie, your girl got another life, because she got a man with Kobe and her together, so they'd show that, oh, I'm a Doris, that's my job, but I can do other things.
Man, that's a bitch, but she's...
Oh, we're going to give this bitch ass, but I just wanted to say, like, how Nakia in the comics, and some shit happens.
Ain't that a bitch?
I forget what happened. Like, somebody put some spell on T'Challa that make him, like, make a pass at her, and that's what she always wanted anyway. So he make that pass at her. He had to explain to her, like, I don't really want you, but she gets obsessed with his ass, and crazy shit go down, and she turns to an evil person. So seeing her actually be of age and actually be the love interest on this, I was like, okay, so where are they going to go with her? Are they going to just keep her as a love interest, or will they be bold enough to figure out a way... Because she's so heroic, and she's the one that... She's so such a hero in this film. I can't see them making her a villain, but how crazy would it be? You know what I mean? And that's all I'm saying. How crazy would it be if they had an arc of... By the Black Panther 4, she's full-on malice. That'd be nuts. That'd be nuts. But, like, he had to save at the top of this film. And it was trippy, that Never Freeze line. I was liking that line in all the trailers. It had to do with her. I thought it was about him kicking ass.
Right. I actually thought, I don't know, I feel like, I don't know, maybe it was me in my head I made this up, but I thought that Lupita said that to him at some version of it, but yeah.
That was always a cool year.
Yeah, okay, fair. Yeah, I must have made that up in my head, but it was, I dug it. Like, it's still, as much as I heard it over and over and over and over and over again, it still played awesome.
Especially
in
the first
15
to 20 minutes of this damn episode.
I never freeze. But it still plays. And even when you get that button of it at the last moment where she has, you know, come down and actually do her thing or whatever.
Oh, okay, you have to save Black T'Challa because T'Challa froze as soon as
he's like, you froze.
He sees Nakia. Hi. She's like, bro, you fucked up my mission. And we find out she's a spy. Because I said, she's not even Dora in this. She's a spy. She's a whole other thing. So we find out she's a spy.
She makes it very clear that she's not Dora.
Yeah.
It's like she has, that goes on later. But she has an opportunity and she's like, I'm not Dora.
So once he, like, rescues her and everything...
Quote-unquote rescue. Really,
quote-unquote, yeah, right.
Summons her. Summons her. Because he messed up my mission.
Right.
And that's part of the representation of black women in this movie is none of them are victims. They're all...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The heroes of this story. They're the soldiers. They're the warriors. They're beasts.
Often the coolest characters of the movie. But I was going to say that the moment when we first see Wakanda, man, I don't know. It's hard to describe the feeling in my soul
joy.
That I felt.
Yeah. It's called joy.
It's joy, but it's something. Joy. It's like it's one of those situations where it's like joy, maybe just doesn't quite do it. doesn't quite say it. You know what I mean?
Tears, it's like your eyes, and like
you know what I'm saying. It's I don't know. It's like I'll never be able to recreate that moment for the first time. It's just it was an amazing.
It's called Home.
I heard somebody sort of like down in the music that sort of plays here.
Fuck them.
But like, yeah, no, fuck them. Exactly. Fuck them.
And guess what? When you see the second time, it still hits you.
It still hits you?
It do. Yeah. It still hits you.
It like that, but that music, I was kind of like, you know what? I was kind of expecting a little bit more of whatever that bullshit ass soundtrack was. To be just blaring here and there or whatever. I'm sorry. Listen, I know they got good songs on there, but anyway,
doesn't matter. I haven't listened to the soundtrack.
You haven't listened to the soundtrack? Okay.
But yeah, it's something about seeing, for me, I'm going to let you finish. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that music that plays, somebody downed it. I don't know what the fuck they're on. Fuck them, as we said. But it played so well for me. I remember that first moment. It's like, well, you know what? No, that's something I really, really love. It's like, maybe you just weren't there. Maybe you weren't connected. I don't know. I'm trying to make an excuse. But anyway,
perhaps
I love
right.
it.
Perhaps yes, they were white.
They were. Yeah.
Oh, they were white, so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well,
there you go.
But like something about seeing even in the beginning of the movie, when you see T'Challa and you see the kid, you caught up on what happened with his dad, and they explain that Wakanda is this third world country that doesn't accept any aid. It's like one of the poorest countries in the nation, and they show these people walking around in loincloths and shit. There's always how they show in Africa. So even when the ship is going into trying to enter into Wakanda, and you just see these regular as Africa that they try to always show you in the media, which is these pastures and goats and shit, and then it just goes into the real Wakanda. You see what a freaking like you feel like some future. You feel like you're like 100 years in the future and shit when you come into the world, and it just that feels like what it's like to be black to a degree. It's like y'all be seeing this, but I'm really this. You know what I mean? I'm really what goes past these damn walls, dog. Right. That shit hit hard, dude.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Damn Coogler again.
Fucking right. Chewy.
Hashtag fucking Coogler.
Yeah. But no, it was an amazing feeling, yeah.
Oh, it's so much deeper than what they stereotype us or put out the hype for us to be. Like, that's what, it's just so many metaphors. What you saying?
Once we land, we meet, of course, the family of T'Challa. God damn, my ear itches. Anyway.
People see what they would have missed, what they missed out on. Had they cast correctly the first time?
She turned it down. I read Angela Bassett turned down Storm. That hurts.
Did she? She turned it down?
She turned it down.
Fair enough then, alright. Well,
yeah, it sucks. So she robbed us off some Storm.
Yeah, maybe it was Storm's fault. Well, maybe it was Angela's fault. Alright, fair enough.
All right. We got to at least see her.
Anyway, yeah, we got to see her in this, which was
T'Challa's
amazing.
T'Challa's mother, the queen, played by the incomparable multiple times stolen fucking Academy Award winner, Angela Bassett. She deserves one. She needs one. Mm-hmm. Why the fuck doesn't she have one?
Because she's black.
Exactly.
And she's also a vampire.
And don't do that!
She doesn't age,
right? She's a vampire. And so is Michael Jai White.
Just saying.
We've already established that.
She is not a vampire.
Can't prove
she
it.
She just played one in a shitty movie. Now...
No.
Everybody knows that fucking Vampire Brigham was terrible.
There was people who like that movie.
I like
bro.
It too.
That
movie.
I'm actually.
I won't fight you over it, but I like
actually,
it.
It's,
I like it.
It's
very
a
much.
Funny movie. It's just.
You ever seen a wolf? To the 25th power?
Yeah. No. Yeah, we got Angela Bassett.
Killer loves to bite, and so do I. Shut up! Angela Bassett, Letitia Wright as Shuri. Which looks like a little sister should. She's such a fucking little sister.
She's wearing her t-shirt on. Not dressed in like the...
And she, of course, is met by... and like I said, they mirrored my, of course, sentiments. When you actually see Wakanda, you're just like... home. So the only thing you can fucking say is, home. I want to know, where are you?
Yes,
like, I'm packing my bag now.
Right. And, like, we go into, she's, you know, we find out she's a technological freaking genius, which is also great. You feel me? She's like,
awesome.
And it's almost telling you, you know, millennial of the future is supposed to run the world. Like, that comes up later that some people are mad because, you know, she's so young and is in charge of all the technology, but look what the fuck she's doing with it. And do we meet a Killmonger after this scene?
Yeah, we do. We meet him right after, when
and
the next scene is him.
And he's at this museum, and the African art expert, or the African expert, is this white woman, which is also funny.
Of course, and he's standing there looking like the lost member of Migos.
Yeah, he does, actually.
All he needs is a good blouse, and I'm telling you.
So, Killmonger, how you felt about it? Because the big debate is anti-hero or villain. He's the hero, it's his movie, he jokered it, blah, blah, blah. How y'all, let's fucking throw that out from right now, nigga. The Michael B. effect and how Killmonger apparently is a phenomenon.
So, I like Michael B. Jordan just a little bit. Just slightly more than I like Chadwick Boseman. Just in general, just because of the body.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Tay Diggs.
Fair enough, right? Yeah. Nobody's better than Tay Diggs.
That's like, another one in his heart, goddammit.
He's pretty close. Oh, shit, I forgot my fucking thoughts there.
Killmonger. Michael B. Anti-hero, villain, how you feel about him?
Oh, shit, yeah. Oh, fuck it, you go. It'll come back to me. You go.
Okay, first of all, by laws of Hollywood, you don't see someone like this. And by someone like this, yes, I do mean this black, weird, thuggish-ass nigga inside of a museum as the, this is the guy who's about to fuck shit up. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, what is he about to do? How is he going to do this? Because even in that scene, the white woman who's the expert on African stuff, she's looking at him like, what is this nigga doing in here?
That's just a dope overall scene, too, whole thing plays like, out. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great scene. It was one of his better moments to Killmonger for me because it was so subtle at that point. I really like how he played this scene in particular, but not me, him as a character, dude. Like,
My thought was, this was the movie, spoiler out there. This is the movie where you root for the villain. It's like, there's a moment where he throws our supposed hero off of a cliff, and I'm kind of like, okay. Alright, we good. Now, when a nigga starts burning shit, then it turns very sour. And, don't get me wrong. But for a moment, for one moment, I'm the only one in the theater going like.
Well, the people who can't see. Why just threw his hands up in the air.
Enjoy
for Killmonger and looked around and noticed that he's probably surrounded by people
who's not
colonizer descent.
Yeah, they're not feeling it.
That's not feeling it.
Yeah.
Colonizer descent, Jesus Christ.
Right. I rooted for him a lot of the time. I sided with him a lot, and a lot of this shit too. This moment always works for me, no matter what. The moment, that exchange that he has when he's like, "Hey, what is that? Is that worth something as well?" And he's like, "Nah, I'm just feeling it." You're like, I'm just like, "Yeah, okay, that works. All right." Yeah, I'm like, "All right, okay." It doesn't always work, but that bump, that worked. Okay, all right, that worked.
Well, he was the embodiment of Black America in many ways,
especially in the situation. And I'll go back to the white woman who's the expert on African. Just that notion of you're sitting there looking, doing what you got to do, not really paying attention, and all of a sudden you have somebody up on your ass like, "Excuse me, can I help you?" "No, bitch, I'm just looking." And it's just one of those. That's that overall feeling of, what are you doing here? You don't belong here. Why are you here? And maybe it's a reach. Maybe I'm going there. But, like I said, just having that feeling of somebody rolling up on you. "Yes, can I help you?"
It's not a reach because he acknowledged it. He said it to her. He said, "Since I've been walked in there, you had eyes on me." Like, he acknowledged this verbally.
Yeah, because I'm like,
Would black people always go
through? Everybody always goes through. Everybody's had that
black
moment.
Person.
I'm walking and looking. Leave me the fuck alone and let me do what I got to do. I'm not going to steal shit.
Right.
Or anytime you walk into anybody's dollar store and they say, "Welcome to such and such." Inside, their cameras looking at everything. Basically, welcome to the dollar store.
No,
niggas don't steal!
No, it's basically the old scene. You walk into the nigga.
Motherfucker.
So, acknowledge these niggas.
Like, man, it was just, I think it was just a tragically, a beautifully written character. Tragically beauty written character with that, because he used, it's kind of like what Monique is doing right now in the news. Whereas, like, she's taking the actual freaking issue that's legitimate. Like, how black women don't get equal play pay. How black women get mistreated and get accused of being too difficult when they speak out. She's using this real thing and twisting it to make it seem as if she's on some righteous shit when she's really trying to do some personal shit. That's what he did in this movie to me, dude. It's like, they use the villain to say, if you don't mind, they use the villain.
Monique is Killmonger.
Hey, beloved, they use the villain, because that's the thing, because that's why when I'm too, I laugh when people try to justify him being a hero. He's not a hero. He's the hero of his own story, and that's how every villain needs to be. And some people are getting it twisted. It's like, my nigga, it's okay to acknowledge that he's the villain and like him. We did that for Joker. We do that for Magneto. Like you just said, you rooted for the villain. You didn't say he's the hero of the story. They got people who ride that shit like, man, he was like, no, my nigga, because if you look at his words, my nigga said, I want to give weapons to all these motherfuckers. Okay, cool. I want to kill all of our oppressors and their children. And if anybody who wants to go against me, I want to murder them. And I want to rule the world from Wakanda, and I will rule. And if you go against me, you die. That is not anti-hero talk.
Anytime you yoke up an old African lady, you get stuck in
the... He killed an old African man that was defenseless. You feel me? He wouldn't even give... He shot his girlfriend in the face without blinking.
That's okay, so yeah, that's where he kind of lost me. I was just like, oh, well... Shit.
Oh, so he didn't lose you at the old woman choke? Oh, that was later. Okay, There's so much villainy that happened.
Can you explain, since you've both seen it twice, right?
I've seen it once.
You've seen it once? Okay, cool. All right. Well, if either of you can enlighten me, because... Nope. Oh, shit. Damn it. God damn it. I've lost the thought. Oh, yes. Got it now. it went away and it came right back again. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Why does Killmonger... and I don't want to jump too far ahead, but why does Killmonger befriend Claw instead of just killing him and taking him back to Wakanda?
Because it's fun that you asked me this question.
Okay.
Because
yes, sir.
I just had this longest debate with this woman a few days ago, this exact question, because... I said, man, question is very similar.
Okay, so fair enough.
I said, okay,
uh-oh.
Well.
Does this go well?
I said, wait a minute.
Uh-oh.
I said, Killmonger already knew how to get to Wakanda, right? Because he killed Claw, so he didn't need Claw to get him there.
Yeah.
And he knew that Claw would be his way into Wakanda. Claw's dead body would get him into Wakanda. So what made him want to do all that? Now, granted, his plan was probably to, like, okay, he wanted to get... I don't know, dog. Because this is what they keep telling me.
Okay.
His whole plan was to embarrass T'Challa, to weaken people's respect for him. Because by making sure T'Challa couldn't get Claw, that would have made people want to fuck with him more. Because the way he said later that he's about breaking down regimes and shit in transitional periods. But my thing is this. There's no way in fucking hell, because he had predicted that T'Challa would have just been successful, grabbed that nigga, and left.
I'm right back.
There's no way you could plan for T'Challa fucking up or for Claw getting arrested. You can't plan for that.
Do you think? But if Killmonger knew that Claw was selling to the FBI or no CIA, right?
CIA.
Yeah. So if Killmonger,
but they were undercover.
But is there really? If he's one, because he says he's one of them. So not really.
An American.
An American. But an American CIA operative.
No, wait, who's... Wait, did you probably...
Killmonger. Killmonger is a CIA operative. Remember, Martin Freeman says he's one of ours.
No, he says he's one of ours as an American, and then explains how, when he was doing black... This later, when he was doing black ops, that they had... His CIA had worked with whatever black ops situation he worked with, and that's how come he got to see what type of shit Killmonger got into, but he never was as direct CIA agent. They just worked with some fucking branch of the government that the CIA had to use sometimes to do fucked up shit at times.
Oh, like a mercenary.
Shit.
Okay, got it.
Still was government approved, though.
Right.
But, okay.
I got you.
What was my fucking thought?
I'm sorry, man. My bad. We were talking about why he befriended...
But they explained, like, you know, that was part of his plan to embarrass T'Challa. So he could... But my thing was this. My nigga, like, what Copy says later that... If it's been 30 years and T'Chaka never caught him. You know what I mean? So I feel like even if he showed up with Claw before T'Challa fucked up, they still would have been like, well, damn, nigga, T'Chaka never called this nigga. You brought him on our front steps. I feel like they still would have opened it. And I feel like things still would have happened. Of course, right. It looked worse for T'Challa to not have called him. But even though T'Challa didn't catch him, the only motherfucker that really seemed pissed about it was Bokkabi. It wasn't like buku people got mad. And the way
Bokkabi, that one dude, yeah. That one
and the way Bokkabi flipped so fast, I feel like he'd have done that anyway, too, because he already felt like tradition was getting stained. He felt like the past kings had been weak. And, you know, Bokkabi is Daniel Kaluuya from Get Out. Yeah. And putting on the African accent this time with his British ass.
He's versatile. He's
bitch ass Bokkabi is what I call him.
First of all, just a little background for the folks who don't have background. I'm speaking for folks who watch this apart from the, of course, the main...
source material?
Yeah, huh? So, a little bit of backstory. There was a small bomb. There was a very large bombing in Wakanda about 30 years ago that ended up killing, it was just one or both of Wakabi's parents.
Wakabi was one of T'Challa's friends. And in the comics, they're besties. And here they're supposedly partners, but the way Wakabi flipped it. But keep going, son.
He's a bit salty. Mm-hmm. He's just a little bit salty, and that's the reason why he defects so motherfucking quick.
But I still don't give it to him, dog, because they're supposed to be partners, dog, because from the jump, he gave his look when T'Challa, when he said to T'Challa, man, kill him or bring him back. And T'Challa said, I'm going to bring him back. And he gave him his look like, nigga, the answer was kill him. That was a trick question, bitch. Like,
I don't think you understand.
I don't think you understood what this was supposed to be.
Never brings his head to me.
To me. You feel me? So that's what I'm saying. I feel like if Killmonger would have brought the body of Clark at any point with the ring of his paw,
would have been the same welcoming.
Without having to go through all that shit. So yeah. I'm going to just say the answer is movie. Because movie. Because we need a movie. You hear me?
Cool.
So where are we going at right now, man? Oh, but once again, so Killmonger villain, right? Mm-hmm. Can we say that much?
Killmonger is a villain. And like I said, I mean, you can
do... Great villain.
You can have, you know, the right mindset even though you have... fucked up reasons.
And that's the greatness of the writing, though, because black people have been oppressed. Black people, all our leads have been fucked up. We have been shitting on. If there was Wakanda that was in real life. And the thing is, Nakia said the same thing. Nakia said it earlier. When Nakia said, look, I'm going to spy out you in America. We should be helping people. And, you know, of course, Black Panther side is, man, that's not our way because we have all technological shit. Every other spy that ever been in this position, even in the comics. People come to war. They feel like we're going to invite more problems by opening our doors. So they both have a point. You feel me? Except Killmonger point is on the level of, look, fuck all that. I grew up as an American. Bang. My about Michael B. Jordan's performance, at certain times, he was trying too hard to be hard. I said this on the last time, and I'm going to say it again. You feel me? Like, he's such a nice guy. I can tell he's such
it
a nice guy.
Doesn't always work. Yeah.
Sometimes it's like, you don't have to snarl it every time you speak. Not every time. But the character was such a beast, and the way it was written and the direction was so good, I forgave it. But actually being a nigga from New Orleans, we see a lot of hood shit. And we already know, like, sometimes a hood nigga don't gotta be snarling. This is presence B. Damn. You know what I mean? What you about to say? I heard you. I saw you looking.
Well, first of all, he just kept on with, you know, the fourth member. Every now and again, he would, of course, slip into that fourth member of Migos. Set to the side.
Bruh. Bruh.
It's like, you didn't need to do that. Like I said.
From a father with brothers club.
Did I put this meme up? I made this meme. Y'all made me laugh, son, to myself, son. And I was like, dog, when we get later to in the movie, where Killmonger be like, ask me my name. And like, everybody ignored it. The child not answering this man. Ask me my name. Nobody won't answer it. Then the one person like, what the fuck's your name? Nigga, he asked my name. And he started going, my name is T'Chaka. It felt like Kevin Hart telling the story. I can't wait to curse. And like, I felt like that's who he was. Killmonger was Kevin Hart when he finally got a chance to curse. He was like, you can't wait. Like, ask me my name. You bitch, motherfucker, you name.
I thought I was the only one. Because everybody is so on him. He is so perfect. His performance is... I'm like, he's never a bad word or moment wasted on him. I'm just like, are we sure, everybody? Am I the only one here?
Take it from
I love him just as much as y'all. But y'all the only one
take it from an actor who's basically professional playing thugs at this point in my life. Because I've been... Pause. I asked this question to some other people. I'm going to ask you guys, especially y'all motherfuckers. Can you name me a black actor that's never had to play a criminal?
Has never had to play a criminal,
yeah,
ever?
Shit.
Yeah.
Successful? No, I'm kidding.
No, but no, but like, can I? Even I think of the class, every act I can, I've never seen a black actor not play a criminal. Or not play
something. Has Romany Melko ever played a criminal?
I think he's played like a comedian.
What is a criminal?
Romany Melko? Any from Weeds?
Yeah, does that count?
He's a fucking drug dealer.
I mean, but does Weed count?
Nigga, he's... Okay. Yes!
Alright, so Weed counts. Alright, fair enough. Weed counts. It wasn't before it was...
Weed counts.
Fair enough. No, that's right. Okay, cool.
Hashtag Weed counts.
Weed counts. Alright, you're right.
Okay. There's gonna be a lot of hashtags on this fucking show.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You're right. No, I'm...
the first thing that pops in my
Michael, mind... Michael Beach. Criminal?
No.
And I say, and it brings up the question.
Michael Beach is always the asshole, though.
But he's never been a criminal, right?
And I'm not trying to say, okay, black people should be playing villains. No, but I'm saying I know there are white actors out there that have never played criminals.
No. Michael Beach was in Third Rock. He lost his mind and killed a couple of people.
Okay. Well,
you hear me? Like, yeah, you're my, right. Like just,
you got me. I'm stumped.
Because right. I was listening once to the Black Guys Can't Jump in Hollywood podcast, and the Squarest Cat even said he had to fucking audition for some like thug role, and you know that, you know what I'm talking about, the one that talks with the lightest voice. You feel me? I'm like, there's no way y'all actually.
Michael Braylon, why are you talking like
that? Bruh, isn't he a criminal on Weeds?
James
the I'm not Weeds, on Kimmy Smith, isn't he playing like some offbeat criminal? He has, like, I think he was talking about, he had some minor role on some TV show, I think it was Kimmy Smith, he has some minor role on there.
I mean, that's, like, some, that sounds like Jonathan Braylock. James III is the little weird one with the glasses.
The light skinned one with the big ass hair.
The light skinned one with the big hair is Jonathan Blake.
Who has no right auditioning for no thug at all. But that's what happens to black guys in Hollywood is we're black, so of course we have to play thugs. We know how to play thugs. But when I watch Michael Beast Killmonger, I'm like, Mike Thug, you're an amazing actor, but I know, okay, you did your thing. But I know there's another act out here that would have really put this on a bit more comfortably. But even though you did your thing, like, this movie was great. I don't want to take it away because one thing I do like about Killmonger is he is so unrefined compared to how refined the people in Wakanda are. Wakandans, they speak so beautifully. Everything is so laid out. Even the Jabari, like, even with their roughness, the Jabaris are like...
I feel so much more comfortable now.
he was unrefined as fuck.
He kept on having a Reggie moment.
You feel me?
Now, I'll explain this.
Are you going to explain what a Reggie moment is?
Yes.
Okay, cool, because I was about to ask.
At the beginning of Michael B. Jordan's career, shortly after he had that bit part in The Wire,
that wasn't no bit part.
Wasn't he like a part of the group that the kids group? Or yeah, whatever? That's like the whole season.
He was in that whole season.
But he pissed himself and then got shot.
Yeah, he got killed.
Where's
Wallace?
I'm not gonna lie to you, man. That whole thing is a whole. Is
he
a blur,
played
but
a
okay.
character. All right. Named Reggie on the soap opera All My Children, who was this little thuggish kid who was doing thuggish shit even though he was clearly not nobody's thug. He like pulled a gun on some guy because he got his mom hooked on drugs and shit. What they usually do to fucking black characters on soap operas.
Right.
Black characters on soap operas are usually thugs from the street. Or they are they are super fucking light skinned and the product of one of the main characters and the maid. That is not a lie. That is not an over exaggeration. That is Gabriel Devane on All My Children. He was the product of the maid and Anna Devane's daddy. And that was it's always that shit. That's what pisses me off about soap operas, which I stopped writing them because. Soap operas are usually progressively, social-wise, are usually 20 years behind.
I want to see anybody connect this.
Regular shit. So, him playing a fake ass thug, that's what always sits in the back of my mind. It's him on All My Children. So like I said,
that's the Reggie effect.
That's the Reggie effect.
So the Reggie effect is seeing him be Bishop in Wakanda.
Yeah.
Instead of in Juice. he's Bishop in Wakanda.
I don't give a fuck about myself. The one thing you don't know about me is I don't give a fuck.
That's one of my favorite all time characters that I can front. I really like Bishop and Juice, dude. Tupac did his swag. But Tupac would have been a fire. Tupac is Eric Killmonger would have been a beast. Oh shit. Oh shit. No, I don't watch that. I would watch it.
Shut up. Stop getting my hopes up for something that never fucking happened.
But Michael
oh
B.
Oh my God, wouldn't that have been amazing?
But Michael B. did his thing. Yes. He did his thing. I'm not going to hit on him. So we get his out.
No, no, yeah. He's got wonderful fucking moments. And it's and like presence. Ryan Coogler. Yeah. And Ryan, presence. Ryan Coogler knows how to film that motherfucker. Even if it's like, even, well, you know, even if the performance isn't, you know, quite on, he's still always in the perfect, right? He's always on the perfect light. So, I mean, he's cool. Anyway, love him.
So we see T'Challa going, you know,
to the coronation. On the side of a waterfall, they are getting it. When I say that, they are having the times of their lives.
And they have this underwater fan system that's sucking up all the water so they can reveal the waterfall side and shallow it up so they can have this fucking fight. Like, what?
Yeah, this whole black hole mechanism, this whole realized
the regalia awesome. Of it all is just crazy to really fucking think about too.
Yeah,
just I love the dances,
all of the tribes,
yeah, the party,
and
everything
just, that they do is very reminiscent of certain African tribes. You of course have the gentleman from the tribe with plate and slip. You also have the woman. I can't remember what part of Africa that is. She has like clay red dreadlocks,
And it goes down all the way to the side.
Yeah, like I said, that's an actual tribe in Africa. I think it's Botswana. I can't remember.
I love the guy that played in his lip was dressed in a swaggy tailored green suit, and I know.
Oh yeah,
I know. Me too.
Usually put them motherfuckers in loin cloth.
Wasn't that motherfucker pimped up?
Oh, he was pimp swag all the way.
Hell yeah, he was.
I loved it.
Nah, I laid a gator plug. Like, damn.
River tribe, bitch.
And of course, while this is going on, during this coronation part, he is purged, I would say, of his...
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stop you. I'm sorry. Not to interrupt, but just a question whenever...
Say your question, man.
Okay. So, are they... giving him power for the fight?
No, they're taking it away.
They're taking it away. Yeah. They're definitely taking it away.
They're taking it away. So okay. He's a fight nigga straight up.
Alright, got it. Okay, I thought they were juicing him up.
Nah, they taking it away.
That's something I wanted to pay attention to the second time around.
And that's what America needs to do. Oh, you want to be the leader, motherfucker? You gotta fight.
Like,
fight for your
real,
spot.
Like,
because that's part of the ceremony. Black Panther said, hey, any of y'all tribe, y'all want to fight for this spot to be king? Come at me. I don't got no powers. That's why you got to always be trained, T'Challa.
So this thing, this juice or whatever that they just gave him is not the same thing that old boy burns.
Mm-mm. No.
This is what something that takes the power away, right? And this is leveling the playing field.
Leveling
juice.
Right.
Yeah.
Which is why when the Bible come through,
right.
You should be like, oh shit, this big ass nigga went to Duke about to fuck up this man's T'Challa. Yeah.
And that's when we are introduced to the Jabari tribe and the leader M'Baku.
Because all the other tribes turned him down because they respect the Panther tribe and T'Challa in them. So they just say, fuck it, man, we ain't about to fight him.
One of those characters where we were talking about, depending on what day it is, I have a different favorite character. Tomorrow, he might be my favorite
M'Baku
character. Yeah.
Yeah, and the women love M'Baku.
Yeah,
and the women love his ass. Oh, my God.
Women love him. They going crazy for him?
Yes.
Now, I heard the women are going crazy for Michael B.
Yeah, already go crazy for him, dog. Yeah, right now, go into our comment group, dog. Lawrence can attest, dog.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow.
M'Baku is God for them.
What is the phrase? I'm M'Baku to the bullshit right now.
Yep, before I M'Block you.
Okay, we're just.
What was about to say something?
He's in the world
so,
now. Yeah,
quote, we are interested. We are introduced to M'Baku, played by Winston Duke, and the Jabari tribe. Now, for those of you who don't know, Jabari tribe are. How do I say this? They're Chicago niggas. Because they're the only ones that can really deal with the cold.
They the Q's. They like the Q's coming into the party at college, bro.
Because if I'm not mistaken, M'Baku.
His man ate.
His man ate.
In the comments, but they wasn't going to use that shit in the fucking 2018 because the big black man ate.
Yeah, well.
They just gave him the ape face and they said, oh, it's implied. He's M'Baku. He's going to go by his real name.
Like, this Trinidad. And so we are welcome to this Trinidadian Negro named Winston Duke. And he challenges T'Challa to fight. And. It's a fight.
It's a great fight in the water. Now, like, I just love the way these shoulders be jumping up everything because He come in there and he said, man, this girl, Shuri, she making all our shit. This nigga could protect his paw. We been up in the mountains. Because he even says this later.
He's got disrespect.
No king has been to the mountains in centuries. Y'all don't give a fuck about us, dog. We the fucking niggas in the hood.
Yep.
That's basically what he's saying, bruh. And I'm here to take your fucking crown. Shit, he more heroic than goddamn Killmonger.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah.
He's trying to take it straight up. He's trying to take it straight up. Let's go, let's fight.
This fight is all kinds of amazing. Mainly it's because I love stage combat. Mm-hmm. Also, just there's a very small piece of nigga in me. A nigglet, if you will, who just love to see fights.
and one thing that he one thing I want to throw in there, something that he says that's real poignant, I caught the second time especially, was y'all not respecting tradition. Mm-hmm. And that's why later on what happens is because he, no matter what side of the field is on, is for the tradition. And that's really a big thing in this film as well, as tradition versus evolution. Ritual versus, you know what I mean, taking another risk, you know what I mean, or growing. It's, you know, it's cool watching these things play out with black people. Biggly black, all this is black. I see light skin, black, I see medium skin, black, I see black. But anyway.
There was somebody on, I'm not sure if it was this group or the other group that I was a part of, that was like, how did y'all get a light skin Nora?
Light-skinned who?
No, they were saying, Dora. Like, how the hell did you get it? How did you just have one random light-skinned Dora? I'm like, but
black people can make light-skinned babies.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, I'm going to leave that alone. Yes. you do what you do, baby.
My little cousin, both of her parents are my color, and she's lighter than motherfuckers. Just, that's black people can do anything. Magic.
This is, of course, very true. Y'all know that I have a very multicultural background, and no, I'm mistaken. You met my little brother. You brought your color.
Yeah. And that's the beauty to catch us on screen like this. But like, this fight is amazing, and T'Challa wins it. And there's this beautiful moment that happens from his mother. T'Challa, show them who you are. Boy, that shit sent the chill through me, man.
I think the fun part is they go from very traditional. But once they drop them spears and the shields, he just goes for the juggler and starts whooping that nigga's ass.
And start talking shit. This is your king! This boy!
Oh, yeah.
No powers! No special suit! Boom! He's talking Mbaku. He wasn't playing that bullshit.
I'm not gonna lie.
I'm stabbing you in this shoulder!
I was kind of making fun of T'Challa when he was like, oh yeah, that mommy say your inspiring words to you.
But that's why it works out later when Mbaku cracked that. Yeah. Are you done? Are you done? It was perfect. That's a setup. That's once again great writing. That's a setup for that later.
But so it ends with y'all are the wrestling niggas. Feel free to tell me what the hell this is.
Side armbar?
That's a triangle chokehold, boy. He got his arm and head in between his legs, choking him the fuck out. Come on. And he tells him, nigga, yield for your people. You still have to be their leader. I'm giving you this way out. And, you know, Mbaku, take that leg, okay? You got this.
He of course,
that's tapped out. That's how he's, like, all, like, hanging off of the waterfall. Yeah. As he, like, kind of wins that victory. He's kind of, that's dope. I like
that. That's foreshadowing. And it's trippy that all his freaking army are the women. And Mbaku army are the men. And then women got the spears. Like, I'm like, I'll fuck every one of y'all up. Because they say this at one point. Okoye is the best warrior in Wakanda. Not besides the Black Panther.
Not the best female warrior. No. Not the best warrior. Period.
General.
With her dot on your side.
Straight up, sir. Like you said, most times in the movie, Okoye, I just love her character. I love her fierceness. I love her vulnerability. Like, she's just such a... Like, Danai
Guerrera,
dog. She... And the thing is, I don't watch The Walking Dead. So I became a fan of her off of that horrible Tupac movie. She was the only bright spot in that piece of shit film. She was amazing in that fuckery. I was like, wow, I like this actress right here.
Amazing. Really? Did you think she... What?
She was really good.
When we had young Tupac, I thought she was a little over the top. but a lot of it. And then once he got older and it's sort of... she still was older.
You can be amazing in fuckery.
I like her.
I just like her.
Roman J. Israel Esquire.
She is rich. She is real. Oh, I'm going to ask you about that Roman Esquire. Oh, he's nominated for an Oscar, isn't he?
You can be nominated for an Oscar even...
Is he really good at it, though, question mark? Is he worthy of an Oscar nomination?
Him? Yes.
Okay, good. That's all I want to know.
The story is shit.
No, I know. It flopped. It flopped too bad for me to think anything else. Awful. Yeah, it flopped badly. I just want to see if it worth watching as an actor for character work?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So I might catch it. So I like, yeah, so now...
And then the tooth.
I feel like you took that in too well. I wanted to tell you how bad it was.
No, I already read the reviews.
You're like, you already know. Yeah, I know. Okay, never mind.
So when it dropped, I knew it was horrible because when it opened, it disappeared. As soon as it opened, it was like only out for like a couple of weeks and no one liked this film. Again, no hype. No one said watch it. That's when he was nominated for the Oscar. I was like, wait, he's nominated off that piece of shit movie that I know is a piece of shit because everyone regarded it that way? That's trippy. They just went through they're streaming Denzel right now, huh?
Yeah. Because, like I said, the other thing that has done that was the movie Slight. And I own Slight. And Slight was awesome.
You thought it was awesome?
I thought it was really good.
No, dude.
Uh-oh.
It's fucking amazing.
You think it's amazing?
Yes.
I like Slight. I felt like they didn't what they marketed to be... Wasn't what it was. That was fucked up. Very true. Like, I had to watch the second time to enjoy it. I felt duped the first time.
Yeah, okay, yeah. You said betrayed.
They portrayed like it was a black superhero film, and that's not what it is.
It's not necessarily.
So the second time, once I knew what it was, I was like, okay, I like this better. Because I'm like, where's my action? Where's my superhero shit? What the fuck is going on? I was mad.
I didn't hate it,
but I didn't love it. Like, how you feel about this movie? I didn't love it like I thought I would. Because like I thought I was going to see some shit, and it was just really some slow-burning black boy drama. It was Fruitvale Station just with superpowers or something. Without the little dude dying in the end. But it was the prequel to Black, the comic book, the prequel. It just was not popping for me at first. But second watch, I like Slight.
Alright.
But I really like Black Panther, man.
After, of course, he's of course regained the heart shaped herb.
That's what's introduced to us.
And he is subsequently buried and put on the other side.
And he gets to see his ancestors and his father. And this is one of the things that I spoke about on my last podcast and online, dog. One of the most powerful scenes in this movie for me happens this scene sets the tone for that scene, which is when Killmonger, spoiler alert, you didn't know this happens, when Killmonger comes later, and he has to go to those same sands, and when T'Challa went through the sands, he got to see his ancestors, he got to see his father, he got to see all of his ancestors, but the black American Killmonger, he go in the sands, he got to go back to the Jeks in America to see his dad, was his only connection. Mm-hmm. That was deep as fuck to me, son. I was like, oh my god, like, we don't have that connection. So, of course, when he go in the sands, he ain't gonna go to the freaking plane. He gonna go to... That's
the hood.
That's nuts. And the only person you can talk to is his pa, who didn't even get a proper burial. Shit crazy. But yeah, we up in here with T'Challa talking to his father. And his father tells him the line that I feel like is the theme of this movie. You have a good heart. You're a good man with a good heart. But it's hard for a good man to be king. I feel like that is basically the theme of this film. The through line. It's hard for a good man to be king.
This is true.
Yeah.
Speaking as a person who's played a king before, or is currently playing a king. Anyway.
Just the whole day, if you look at Killmonger, if you think of what T'Challa's trying to be, because oftentimes people keep saying that it's Killmonger's movie, and I'm like, no, Killmonger is what makes T'Challa a king, the best king he can be. Like, this is always still T'Challa's story. Without Killmonger, he wasn't going to realize what when he told his father later, we created this monster, what the fuck are we doing? Like, Killmonger, we're going to get into it some, but it just trips me out just watching this dude is really trying to find his place to be the best he can be. And when his ideals are portrayed, he really has to rise up and be like, man, no, I got to be better than all this shit. So,
Once again, like I said, it's to a point at this point that not only do you have characters, but the country of Wakanda is a character in itself.
And that doesn't have to happen often.
Because, like I said, a lot of people have done situations where, okay, the setting is also the character. But it's the character, because you see all of these different tribes living together. You also see their extreme modes of transportation. Mm-hmm. It's Africa, but
so... But we still see this market, like, it's just, you know, a normal like, thing. Just, nigga frying fish and chicken and shit outside, like, I'm buying. It's like a bartering system happening.
Right.
It's advanced, but at the same time...
And it's... Insane, and it just makes you think of shit that you wouldn't regularly think. It's like, I wonder what kind of currency they have. Wonder if they have currency at all. It's like, do they have currency? What kind of, are they going to get married?
We just
they
really want to go
sexuality
there.
Is fluid, damn it!
And we get to see the chemistry between Nakia and T'Challa. I like what you say his name, T'Challa. You feel me? You see that we finally, you know, the exes, and he is so still. You could say the chemistry is great. You see, he's still in love with her, but like, she's and like,
headlights.
And I had to look in headlights. But like, yeah, and she is the first one to say we need to give our resources out, and he's not hearing it at first. And then we get to Wakabi, this giant ass rhino, and Wakabi bitch ass dog. He flipped too easy to say that's your partner, son. Then, like, when I watched it the second time, me and the homie Alpha Joe really, literally checked off each time. Where you can see, this is Wakabi checking off. Oh, that's when it was a problem. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's when we see it.
Not again.
You feel me? And he's just, if we partners, dude. Like, even later in the movie, like, he had so many options to not attack T'Challa. And he just took the one to do it.
Yeah.
That's what your people's, dog.
He wanted that. He wanted that outcome no matter what.
Dude, he was on some fuck shit, bitch ass Wakabi. But
I can't argue in his favor in this, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is definitely, just a huge betrayal of that dude, and hella quickly.
Yeah,
like it's a quick turn. I can't argue.
So basically, they find where Claw is. Claw's trying to make a deal, so they got to go undercover to South Korea. This was an amazing scene with them trying to chase down Claw. We see Martin Freeman's freaking Everett Ross, and in the comics, Everett Ross is like Black Panther's liaison to America, and sometimes a sidekick. It was an interesting run where you saw the world through Everett Ross's eyes in the comics, and it was interesting because, you know, a lot of times white people only see shit through white boys' eyes. And a funny way, he was not really that needed in the story. You didn't need him in the story. Understood why they threw him in there, just for comic connection and for white people to feel like they're important. Woof woof. So I like that scene, and it was so trippy. My mom was telling me, people say it's just a movie. My mom was telling me when she saw the scene of Okoye with the wig, and when she's like walking with it, like, what the fuck is this shit? And when she threw it off, she was like, man, that made me never want to wear fake hair again. just seeing the strength of this black woman just throwing that shit off and kicking all the ass within this whole scene.
How many of those do you think we're going to see for Halloween? The one thing that I liked about it was it wasn't just because it was bald. It wasn't just because it was hair. It was because it was straight hair. Mm-hmm. And she had never had... It was like, the fuck is this? And she's sitting up there like, why do I have this thing on my... And she's pissed about it.
Yeah.
Why do I have this thing on my head? So just looking back and forth. Right. Get this motherfucker off my head. I hate this thing.
And Nakia is like, she spies in America regularly, so she's used to it. She's like, just wait, but she fucking with her because she knows she's laughing at her. When Nakia is representing the person now, like, he's like, okay, whatever. She's laughing at her. It's interesting to see.
I think we get the sort of the James Bond Q scene before that, right?
Yeah, before he goes out to South Korea, we get to see him and his sister. Oh, yeah, we missed this hilarious scene with him and his sister. What do you want to say? Go ahead, talk about it.
I was just going to say, yeah, so this scene where she greets him with the sisterly, My king. But whatever, you know, it's like, y'all, we fam.
You mean the dap off that everybody is doing.
The dap off that will now, you know, flood America.
Forever.
Forever. It will always be relevant and current. So, yeah, definitely.
We was using that shit on Facebook before the movie even dropped.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. I saw you using that
of course, the emoji. Yeah.
Once the commercial hit, it was already like, wait, they dapping? They dapping in this movie in the trailer? Yeah. I was there from that moment.
Right. But yeah, no, I love this scene. This is like, so whenever, this is, so I didn't really understand the connection with James Bond, but when I think back on this scene, you did get it.
Yeah, okay. This is James Bond. James Bond. Yeah. He's like, okay, this is your mission, and these are the things that we're going to give you.
Right.
And what are those?
Yeah. That got a huge huge laugh in my screening.
Well, that sounded like some just okay. We gotta throw this in there for.
You're just gonna let her go nuts. Like, what do you feel like? What do you want to say right here?
And this is in the Back of the Future moment. When
I'm just gonna say this. Sneak. Y'all gonna have to take me. Y'all gonna have to be like, be prepared for a shot on my damn feet. She's just like, okay, we're doing the shot for your feet today. Really?
Give me the heads up, bro.
It's like, yeah, get the belt sander and the grease, because you got to go to work on my feet.
You got to go to work.
And like, you see, like, she is the most, and they've already said that she's the smartest person in the Marvel universe, or for the cinematic universe, and of course she is, because look how she's making these advances as tools and weapons.
But she's extremely valuable. She's the only one. I mean, what the hell happens if something happens?
No, she got a squad of people, because you can see them in the background. She has a squad of people that's helping her, but she's designing all this shit. And she put niggas to work.
Right. And of course, the fun thing that I like about the suit is she, of course, retools the suit to the point where anything that hits him absorbs to the point where he can blow it back out.
And it goes subtle thing too, and that's a metaphor too. Like, that's a black person metaphor. That we put up with so much shit, and you keep hearing this, because there's something powerful about seeing bullets bounce off a black man. We saw that in Luke Cage. We see it on here when the bullets. But in here, it's not only that the bullets bounce off, we can take that energy in and shoot that shit back out in a positive way, because we have to. We got to put up with this shit, black people.
But I love the fact that he kicks it. Like, you idiot, stop that shit.
But that's a setup. She knew what she was doing when he kicked that bitch, and she set that man up. Don't delete that footage. Yeah. But I'm saying that there's a subtle way of showing you that Black Panther is known as, like, the black Batman at times. You feel me? He's very smart. He's one of the smartest people in the Marvel Universe himself. They snuck it in there, my original design. You feel me? So he designed his other suit. So that already lets you know subtly he's smart as fuck, too. But his little sister, like, ha, yeah, that shit. Oh, my God. Oh, I get to put my helmet on. Oh, if I have my attention. That shit is so hilarious, bro. But keep going, man.
Yeah.
She, of course, she does that. She's like, I'm so damn stupid.
And she shows him the real new suit.
He was like, okay.
My suit comes with a chain.
And he flies across the room and was like, delete it.
Delete that footage. After she set this man up, but you can see. And I love that they show us, when people want to know what's his powers. Whenever you talk about somebody's a superhero, superhero stuff to somebody that don't know, you say such and such man. The next question is, what's their powers?
Right,
they're going bit by bit showing us from the heart shape, or the powers is this. From the suit can do this. So from then on in the future, we don't have to explain this shit anymore. You got it, good. Let's get to the action and win South Korea. And to keep it short, like I said, the CIA trying to do a buy with a club.
Yeah, that scene there, right.
What the fuck is this on my head?
Claw is amazing. I love Claw.
Claw was really dope. I was sorry to see him go. Damn, I want his mixtape too. This is the sexiness. This is what I was talking about, brother Ben. Like, when she gets them both in, like, yo, he got deep pockets, you know, let him in. They're from, what, Kenya or something?
Yeah, Nakia is posing as a Kenyan heiress, and she just likes to get into bad things, and she gets them to super clip.
Baby girl tells her no, she's like, come on. And she's like, okay, I'll let you in.
Yeah,
it's like, it's just dope. I like,
of course, fan service, because Lupita Nyong'o is Kenyan.
right.
Keep that going there.
Right.
They, of course, are in this in their green, black, and red stuff, which from Kugler's mouth is said it's supposed to be the Pan-African flag.
And we have, of course, the Kia in green, Okoye in red, and the T'Challa in black, and they're walking together.
And we got the Weeknd playing in the background, one of the songs that works.
So eventually, like,
one of the songs that works.
One of them.
So Claw comes in to meet with Everett Ross. We have this deal. The deal goes south, and we have this awesome fucking fight scene with the Panther, the Dora Milaje. She's
fucking weak, though.
And,
she's like, get off!
And that leads to this awesome chase scene. We've lost it. Let's keep going. Lisa's awesome chase.
Oh, yeah. But I love that. His whole entrance where he comes in, like, really loud and obnoxious and shit. Like, that was
amazing. And he has the vibranium in his dick.
Yeah. Yeah, and he pulls it out, and he's just like, I'm sorry, kids. Sorry, kids. Because there were a lot of kids
There's a lot of kids here.
Like, and watching him pull out this thing out of his goddamn crotch.
I'm so sorry,
Like, he literally
Jamal, I'm sorry.
Digs down in there. hair, pulls that like.
Damn it, Jamal. I'm sorry,
Lil Jamal. It looks really phallic when he pulls it out anyway. You know what I mean?
What is wild is that when they go into the chase.
He made it rain.
I made it rain.
I loved him.
It's like T'Challa gets blown back. And they keep on moving. He'll catch up.
Yep, the Dorm Elijah. We got it. He'll catch up. They throw a little device in the other car so Shuri can navigate a car from Wakanda while Black Panther's on top of it. The technology that the people, the Wakandans have is ridiculous.
They can just fucking do anything. It's anything. Like, yeah.
We heal bullets. We do whatever.
Yeah, we can. Your spine broken, we fix.
God.
And Okoye, oh my God, she was such a bad... Oh, I was about to say,
and bullets.
So primitive. Mm-hmm. There's so many quotables in this. So basically, they all chase down Claw. Funny scene when Claw blows up their car, and Okoye lands on the door like a fucking surfboard, and Nakia is just...
She's still driving. She's sliding on the ground.
Another big laugh in the screenings.
What the fuck?
Big laugh in the screenings. And then, you know, Eric Ross picks them up, and T'Challa chases down Claw, and he has an opportunity to kill Claw, but everybody's watching.
Fuck out of here.
Right, yeah, everybody's got their phones out.
Yeah, the world is watching.
Yeah. And, oh my God, there's so much allegory. God damn it.
It's so, what you're saying.
He's like, all the world is watching. Just seeing as though many times, especially in the last few years, a lot of times it's usually the other way around.
Right.
A white guy beating up on a black guy or killing one.
Cameras
are out. And like I said, right. It just shows you just how big, just how real fucking small this world is. When you can just pull, and I've been saying it for years, pull this little plastic motherfucker out your pocket and you can change shit. So just keep on moving. Hey, grab that man and...
Great scene, interrogation. Okoye, your boy Everett Ross touches the child. Okoye, look at that man hand. Like, he touches you again, I would impale him on that. And I love that line of, does she talk? Does she speak English?
When she wants.
Yeah.
Ooh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love Okoye. Like, right now, this is my favorite character today.
Now, he goes into this scene, and he, of course, looks absolutely fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And he just spills out everything, and what's crazy is they don't believe them for a hot second. It's like,
that's why I said, fuck you, Ross. Ross, you saw the Black Panther in action on the last movie. Why the hell is this so unbelievable? How the fuck you think that third world country would have even come up with that freaking... Black Panther costume that you saw live action whooping ass.
Exactly. Now,
he does kind of like, though, cut the interrogation short to go be like, my man here says,
he questions it.
You know, some stuff.
And what's trippy is this. Claw, it's some white people shit on some shit. Not all white people, whatever the fuck. Even though he respects and fears the Wakandans, he still regards them as savages. It's like no matter how exceptional you show yourself to be to a certain white person, you still a nigga.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's some shit. Because when you say that savages, even though I'm like, my nigga, they savages, but what? You see, you just sold to the other white man how incredible they are. Trippy shit. So Michael B. The skip going, keep going. Michael B. Killmonger comes through,
blows a hole in there.
Wearing the mask, he was digging,
and that mask is from the comics. That's one of Killmonger's masks. They flipped that shit in a nice modern way while he's wearing his Vegeta fit. And T'Challa notices the same ring that he got from his father. Michael B.'s character is wearing around his neck, and he, you know, T'Challa's fucked up. Like, wait, what?
And yeah,
like
then, of course, we're going to keep the call. I don't know the man's name, so it's
Ross.
Yeah,
Ross. Martin Boy. Yeah, Martin. Ross.
Another white man for us to fix.
Mm-hmm. And he, of course...
takes a bullet.
And...
for Nakia.
If I'm not mistaken, they pull... That looks like they pull off of their Kamoya beads.
Yeah, them things can do so many things.
I know, right?
They power vehicles. They can shoot.
Shut up and take my money. I want it.
I want everything. Yeah.
Give it to me. Anyway, we go back to Shuri's lab, and that's of course where we get the.
And Okoye is against it completely, but of course Nakia is like, man, she is the one that wants to help others, and this nigga took a book for us, so you know decided to save his life. Then we get to
another broken white boy for us to fix.
Michael B. Jordan turns on all. I mean, Killmonger turns on Claw. He shoots his girlfriend in the face. He shoots Claw's man.
Yeah, like he sort of he turns on everybody really quickly. Like he shows that he kind of has no alliances.
The only thing I can say is this: maybe he was waiting for Claw to lead him to his airplane. Maybe. Because then he kills him and takes the plane to go to Wakanda. Maybe the man didn't have a plane. Maybe that's the only reason why he waited long. Switch, I can get Claw going to the plane. Are we going to the plane? Yes. Wakanda time, nigga. And until that day happens, he's going to just be doing fuck shit with this nigga.
Let's just go roll around Boston. Because
the nigga didn't have a buddy pass for some strange reason. Right. Anyway.
Let's roll around Boston because we need a plane. It's like, oh shit, the plane's coming, everybody. It's time to smoke this motherfucker.
It's going to be the day I shoot this nigga.
I'm smoking this motherfucker like a pack of Cools.
Because the thing about Killmonger, you have to respect is this, dog. This is why, how he caught the child slipping. Okay. Like you said, I've worked my entire life for this moment to kill you. I'm not going to squander that. You just chilling versus nigga that's just plotting and waiting. I'm lifting weights thinking about you. I'm having sex thinking about you. I'm fucking beating and killing niggas thinking about you.
Gross.
Yeah.
I'm doing all these. He's always thinking about.
Yeah, he's very committed.
Nigga, he's putting African freaking scars on. African scars put on his skin.
That's for Botswanan scarification.
For every kill on his body. And that's some, dog, you're not just giving yourself Victor Zaz stars like Batman 111 cross, nigga. No, you're going through your shit like, no, I'm going to be the baddest looking motherfuckers. When I take my shirt off and people see me, these bitches going to get wet and confused.
That's another hashtag. Oh, wet confused. Hashtag wet confused.
Wet confused. Oh my God, it's like Candyman had a child. What happened here? I don't know. I'm very curious.
Question mark. Dripping wet.
T'Challa holler at Forrest with a kazuri and be like, man, what happened? I saw this guy with the same ring as my grandfather gave my dad. And then, you know, Zuri got to spill it. Okay, yeah, your pa killed his brother, Killmonger's dad, to save my life. Because we found out that Killmonger's dad was, you know, doing traitorous things. And when he tried to kill me, it was like a reaction. He hit him with the claw. I don't think he even meant to kill his brother. Yeah. It's like a quick reaction just to save Zuri. And he told him to keep that secret forever. And that's when T'Challa puts it together like, man, we created this problem. And that's the truth, too. If you look at the wealthy, if you don't give back to your community, you're going to create the monsters of tomorrow. And that's just the privilege, you should say. Not just the wealthy. If you're a privileged situation. Because that's their fault.
Shout out for the 1992... 227 fucking thing in the background. That is the fucking shelf from 227. I don't care what nobody thinks. Go back and watch the episode of 227. That bitch is in there.
And go watch the scene with Sterling K. Brown. And he makes the most of his minutes in anything he's in.
I am making a prediction now. Wow. I give him 4 years. He's going to win an Oscar. Just four.
Like, are they? It's not just in my head. Like, they're really sort of like kind of. There's a real push for this guy just to kind of be a household name. If he's not even already there, I mean, he's definitely on the way.
Right.
Like, I feel like there's a push for that right now.
So we find out the tragedy of what happened to Killmonger's father, and why you can see why he's on his kick and he has such followers. That's some shit for T'Challa to chew on. On the same day that Killmonger shows up and gives Wakabi bitch ass of all people what he's been wanting from T'Challa and T'Chaka for years, Claw's dead body. And in the comic book, Claw is like the Joker to Black Panther. Black Panther's main enemies is like M'Baku, who becomes his friend in this movie. Killmonger, who, as we know, spoiler alert, dies in this movie. And Claw, who was killed by Killmonger in this movie. It's going to be interesting to see where they go for the future. I did not think that Claw would be killed, but it was, you know, it was way in. It worked. So, you know, fuck colonizer Marvin. And the colonizer line around white people hits differently. I experienced that today. This is one white lady sitting next to me did a deep breath when Shuri called Ross a colonizer. She went... when I saw it with so black rap, people, it was just laughter. Like, just pure laughter at it.
Scared me, colonizer.
Yeah, man. And you are motherfucking colonizing. I like calling white people colonizers now, dog. It did so well. I feel like this movie must have been how I felt when Roots hit. All the black people came together and was mad at white people when Roots hit. But this time, we ain't even mad at white people. We just so proud to be us that we're looking down. Like,
you scared me, colonizer.
So, yeah, man. So, we find out that we have a moment when Nakia is telling T'Challa, man, be the king who you going to be. Don't worry about your dad's past. Once again, to be a good king.
Actually, that's, if I'm not mistaken, that's not necessarily a Black Panther. The whole colonizer thing is not necessarily a Black Panther thing. Because, like I said, I've heard, like, Miriam Makeba, who's South African singer, she said she's called white folks colonizers.
So it might just be an African thing?
I think it may be an African, especially a South African
thing. Why is this a piece of slang that we're just getting in America, though? Could we have been had this?
Yeah, it's catching like wildfire now.
Yes, it is. So,
so of course, Killmonger meets the throne.
Yes, and he walking in like a nigga. I'm sitting this bitch. Nah!
With his side bang.
Yeah, side bang.
Yeah, side bang.
And he up in there, he got, you know, he killed Claw. He got his dad ring. He talking that shit. He said, I'm going to go at the throne. Everybody's under child not to take his thing. But he's saying, nah, nigga asked me my name. Najanika! Njogu, my daddy. He couldn't wait. Like, he couldn't wait to let these niggas know who the fuck I am. And T'Challa accepts his fight.
Question. So, Black Panther is meant to battle anybody and everybody who decides to challenge him.
No, you negative. Gotta be a noble tribe. Negative.
Gotta be a noble tribe. But I mean, so say all those there were like at least three tribes up there, right? That
like six.
Six, right. Yeah. And they all said we're not gonna fight. But except for
Baku.
But say if they all decided that they wanted
to fight.
Fight. You had to fight, all of them. At once?
No, one on one.
So
if another one would have jumped up after Mbaku, T'Challa was gonna have to fucking fight.
Get up and fight.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, right, you cool. got.
That's what I didn't understand exactly. I was like, okay, so yeah, you got to fight everybody.
Anybody that's about that life, you have to fight him. Like, ooh wee. You know what I'm saying?
But, all right, fair enough.
Yeah. If you just rolled up in Wakanda yesterday, and it's like, I'm gone, bitch.
Nah, but in the cartoon, what's funny is he was just saying whoever want to fight, they was like. The cartoon depicted it like that. Like, if you're not no bum off the street, but a regular nigga would kind of, because most niggas would be scared to fight him anyway. It's a kid, I don't want to fight him. But a nigga be like, who's next? Me. And some nigga raised their hand, and Black Panther got to whoop that ass right fast to keep that goddamn situation.
Necessary. Now, of course, the Wet and Confused scene comes.
Yeah, when Michael B. Jordan.
Wet and Confused.
Killmonger and him have to fight, and Killmonger had a nice strategy, man. That cut into T'Challa's ligaments and such.
The whole build up to my problem with this is an issue I have with the movie too, is that this whole build up to this fight scene, we know he's about to get his ass kicked.
You like, know granted, that T'Challa, you his ass kicked. You knew all the dump.
The way they built it up and how he came in, like all this stuff, and then he gave his speech and all this. It's just like the whole build up to before a punch or a swing was thrown.
As a matter
of fact, like, it felt like he was going to go down.
Production pictures. Is of this fight.
Yeah.
Some of the first production pictures that came off of this movie was of the fight between him and Killmonger. Mm-hmm. And all I say as Gumbo Monsters Makeup Nigga is, do you have any motherfucking idea how long it could possibly take
to get those scars? Get those scars on him. Yeah, it's ridiculous. The makeup in this film has to get props. The costumes in this film have to get props.
God.
The DP in this film has to get props. They're like, dog. She's
a DP from Mudbound. She's nominated for an Oscar this year.
Oh, ironically, dog, I told somebody that I've never seen Mudbound, and it was like, you gonna watch Mudbound? Like, after seeing Black Panther, I can't watch Mudbound. I can't watch any black people in Jim Crow get murdered after seeing Black Panther. Sorry, I'm off it. You gotta do some positive shit. I go watch that Manta Musa movie that they're trying to make. I go watch some black positivity, but I'm not watching no shit of us. I ain't watching no Detroit. I ain't watching none of that fucking shit.
Don't watch Detroit.
I knew Black Panther was going to lose this fight for two reasons. One, what you say, story-wise, is if only that makes sense. Yeah. Secondly, Killmonger always wins those fights when he fights Black Panther. The Killmonger in the comics won their first fight, threw him off a waterfall, and did it like that, went down just like that. Right. It's an iconic Black Panther comic book moment. So I knew he was going to lose. I just didn't know it was going to go down like that.
Yeah, I didn't know he was gonna. I didn't know that was gonna happen. That he was actually gonna get thrown off The waterfall.
Now, I knew the waterfall. I knew
that was going to happen exactly.
As soon as I saw the waterfall, and I, like you said, L-Dub, the one of the first production stills was them fighting in the water. Yeah. So when I saw that waterfall at the top of the movie, I said, oh, this is the waterfall. It's going to literally get thrown off. I already knew that was going to happen. Okay. I just, like, it was at a point, like, look right now. After Zuri is killed, T'Challa is completely fucked. All his ligaments have been cut. I didn't know it was going to be like that. Like, he really whooped that ass. Like I said, this man had a kill. He had it on his mind. Trained for this, killed for this, fought for this, shat for this. Nigga, I'm on it, dog. And I just watched his family, even the door of Elijah, like, dog, can we do anything?
Hashtag shat for this.
Shat anyway. For this, nigga. So, yeah, he bust that ass with Kobe looking like he getting a hard on. He tossed T'Challa off the water
bowl. This was a complete surprise to me.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, I did not read the search material. And like I said, this, of course, in my theater, emitted a scream. Mm.
Wow. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, like, yeah, it kind of shocked me. I was like, granted, now, this is the same man that is going to say, get this man the shield. So,
exactly.
I'm like, in my head, I'm like, well, we know he's not dead. Yeah, we know he's not dead, but it's like, wow, that kind of hit my heart a little bit.
How the story's going to connect. I know he's not dead. I think he's really fucked up.
But it's like, because we see immediately after, it puts sort of his mother, his loved ones in immediate danger and shit. And
yeah.
Like, that kind of, and like, you know, that
might be Val Merkin, one of them. But he go to other flip, too.
We didn't see them in the Infinity War trailer.
He needed to get beaten so... True that, we didn't. You need to get beaten so definitively, so even if you know this movie is called Black Panther, T'Challa's coming back.
Yeah.
But you gotta have that feeling in your heart that he might lose that next fight, though, because look, I got his ass up that first time, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's why you need to lose so definitively. But what you're saying, I'm held up.
So, what, like I said, to me, it was like, like I said, by the law of Hollywood, I knew he was coming back, but it was like, how?
Real, very true.
Hey, you got thrown over waterfall.
A motherfucking waterfall.
Not too many people come back from that.
And Michael B was swagging. This your king? This nigga? It's like, dude, this is a rated R movie. You just do. He's like, this, like, fuck this nigga.
There's an unrated version. There's a few takes, I'm sure, where he accidentally said nigga.
This motherfucking nigga. I'm your king now, nigga. Burn it down. We get to the burn it down part. Burn it down, nigga.
Of course.
Yeah, that motherfucker. Was like,
another raging moment.
Another so, like I said, the way we're fighting, I believe them. I like them in this fight. They say there's moments where Michael G. There's moments where Michael B. Jordan is brilliant. There's moments where it's like,
that part, that shot.
I love him in this fight. He took it enough minutes.
Where he, of course, stabs him in the side. And, of course, if this was rated R, he'd be like, now, the face was now what, nigga?
Right.
That's exactly what the face was. It was now what, nigga?
There was too many implied niggas going on here. So Nakia saved the parent, saved the mom and the sister, and she go get a piece of the heart-shaped herb. That's when we see Michael B. kill Michael. He go in the sands, and that scene we were talking about before when he's talking. First, he has him entering the project house. He got the purple sky in the background. Him as a kid, seeing his father.
Of course, before that, we do have the scene between Nakia and Okoye.
Oh, that scene.
Where he asks her to defect from the Dora, and Okoye was like, no.
I'm
right, yeah.
My faithful to my throne,
no matter who the king is.
Black women, man.
And
I cooled it down.
Black women will save us all.
Interesting conflict, too. I like that.
And
that
Nakia, the great line was, Okoye said, bruh, Nakia said, I loved him and I love my country. That's what Nakia said. Okoye said, well, serve your country. She said, no, I'm going to save my country. That's what Nakia told her and walked off. And you felt where both of them was coming from.
Yeah,
definitely.
And, of course, now we see the beautiful Miss Angela Bassett with the most insanely beautiful, beautiful white dreadlocks.
Yeah, mourning her son.
Oh my God.
It looked amazing. And no, we had to see the scene where Michael B. goes into Sands. He get the heart-shaped herb powers, which is not a good thing to give a crazy motherfucker like that. We get the background of he was a kid watching the spaceship leave, and he go find his dad alone. They, you know, just dead. You find that as a kid. And then after we see that, how he found his dad or whatever, he come back into the thing as a grown adult. And we see the connection. His dad can't believe, like, damn, I left a broken son. And, you know, he's like, no tears for me. And, like, you know, Michael B was like, everybody dies. It was an interesting transfer over from the kid version of him to the adult version of him, because he feels like this is what he had to do. He had to do this to assess. He just needed this. Because it's like, imagine being a kid. You hear these fairy tales about this super black land that's so amazing and so beautiful. You can't get there. Your dad get killed, so now you cut off. You know there's better than the hood in Oakland. You know there's better. And you're getting robbed of it, and you know you're supposed to be a king. You know you have royal blood in your fucking veins. That shit deep.
I didn't catch that the first time when he goes back into his little sort of spiritual world vision or spiritual quest, whatever. When he goes into it, there's like a sort of purple backdrop outside of
the apartment. It's the same place. That's what I'm saying.
Just inside of
the Jex.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. And that's what fucked me up. When I saw I'm like, though, he got the purple sky, just like T'Challa got the purple sky. But Michael B. go to the Jex, and he don't get no ancestors to talk to. As the black American, son, that shit was deep.
It was deep, and it's like, it's also really sad.
Yes. And that's why so many people, like, align with Killmonger because he's such a tragic villain. But he's still a villain, y'all.
He's a villain. Yeah, that's true. He's still a villain. Yeah, man, he's so sympathetic. You just wind up feeling sorry for him. Now that you're putting it all in,
if you want to give money to the poor, and the way to do it is by killing 75 people, you're still a villain.
You're still a villain. Magneto, dog. I always felt for Magneto, dog. He watched his family get killed in the goddamn Holocaust. He watched all his people get destroyed. You know what I mean? And now he's seen as a mutant. They getting persecuted just for being different. And he just want his mutants to be good. And there's certain ways you can look at Magneto and be like, dog, I feel you, Magneto. What you can do is crazy ass shit. Same with Killmonger.
The
like,
thing about Magneto is that, like, no matter what, he's a magnet. He's a magnet for trouble. He's a magnet for trouble. Like, no matter what he does, even at his best,
but
he's
a magnet. Lines he won't cross to mutants. Killmonger shoot up a fucking Wakanda, and all black person, all white. He don't give a fuck.
Anybody who stands in his way.
Anybody. Magneto, if you're a mutant, he'd be like, say, bro. Don't make me have to fuck you up. Mm-hmm. I will if you're in my way, but don't make me your mutant. Killmonger.
As opposed to Killmonger, who
smiling
will
laughing.
Blow up the Wakandan House of Puppies.
Mm-hmm. Bro, he would.
By any means necessary, though, you know what I mean? And
so he could be ruler.
Side note, he's of course, there is a Wakandan House of Puppies. Mm.
Wow. Didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, as
you
he takes
this awesome as this is one of my favorite shots.
Yeah, I love that fucking shot.
Yeah. And it's the reverse of when T'Challa walked in, and we have it going the other way. This time it's upside down, entering Killmonger to take the throne. I wish they would have let him. I like how he sat down and closed his eyes. They should have let him have a moment. Like, if I was improvising and I was in that situation, I'd like they'd have said some line. I'm like, give me this. You know, because he said, I've been waiting my whole life for this. For you to finally sit at the throne, my nigga. You could give a few seconds of not taking this shit in before I tell y'all. Well, and this is one of those scenes where I was like,
sure,
snarling.
And like I said, I'm not sure if he was going for that either. But you know how House of Cards, before, you know, it was destroyed, had one of their logos be the American flag turned upside down.
Yeah.
From what I understand, the American flag turned upside down is a sign of great distress. So I'm not sure if they were going the same way, how the country is now flipped upside down and is going to be in a state of distress.
Oh, I mean, that's for the shot. Hell yeah. I'm just talking about him sitting in the chair. He closed his eyes for 2 seconds, started talking. And I'm saying, my nigga, no, you could have closed your eyes for more seconds. Because this is what you killed. And you said all of these things. Now you get to sit here. I don't think you'll just sit there and start talking. Mm. No, nigga. Give yourself a minute. Fuck them.
Reggie. Yeah.
You won. You won. You heard me right fast. You went up and then you took that shit, bruh. Now, this is one of those scenes. It was a great scene, like I said, but I feel like he didn't have to even snarl and shit. Like, I feel like he could have played that scene just talking to these niggas because he spoke the stories. Man, our people need this. Our people need that because, once again, he's saying the right things. And those are the villains you gotta look out for who are saying the right things. Our people have been getting stepped on for years. They have been getting oppressed forever. You feel me? But then he takes it up a notch. I'll kill their kids. I'll kill them all. I will burn it all. You feel me? Even when he got the heart-shaped herb, didn't we skip over that part? He burned all the heart-shaped herb. Now I was looking at that.
While strangling an old Wakandan lady.
And apparently now that quote is making these women very turned on. Like, the scene when the old lady said, we can't burn the heart-shaped herb, that's for the next king. He's like, ain't gonna be the motherfucker no more king. He said, burn that shit. She's like, we can't. He grabbed her by the throat and lift this old lady up by the throat. He said, when I say something, when you say, what you say, something, I mean that shit, or whatever, and he drop her, and that girl's going, ooh, if you'd have told me that, I would zaddy. They be tripping on that.
Really?
Dude, I've been seeing that a lot.
He strangled an old woman.
And that's what some white, some different dudes are saying in the group, like, but we strangled an old lady. Like, man, like, we weren't even thinking about that old lady. We just, mm. And I was like, man,
obviously.
You gotta accept the concept that some women like to be strangled.
Hey, man, but he, and this dude burning his roots down. And in a weird way, like that was such an amazing shot watching the flames come as all that
right,
was getting burnt up, and you watching him burn his roots that he has no connection to. Yeah. He's burning his roots that he has no connection to, so he can ascend to be the best.
I like this.
I love this shot too. Yeah. As we get into so basically, Killmonger took over. He's the king. He said we about to send ships of weapons from Wakanda to all the black hoods in America and all the black people in America, so we can take over.
I got the question.
What's up? A lot of that sounds like a good idea.
Now, so if you are, of course, this person, say you are back in Oakland, and this is to actually happen, if these Wakandan ships, of course, go and make it to the shores of America.
Yeah.
You know what I'm about to ask.
I hope they're not going to just send weapons. Like, I hope you're sending instructions and orders and execution.
Well, he's sending the weapons to certain spies that have agreed to help the cause because they have a new king. So the way it's going, these weapons are going to the spies that are already set up in America, and those spies are going to distribute and explain the things to the people that's in their areas. So, not just America, Hong Kong, they named a different bunch of different places
they
these spies
New
are.
New York, they said L.A., they said Atlanta.
They said London, they said Hong Kong, they said a couple of spies, like, we going to drop them there without spies that's rocking with us. And they got certain spies that's not feeling it, but we're going to give them together. So, you know, I assume the spy going to give the instructions, but the plan is still crazy. Cause who said nigga and who said they gonna not to take the weapon and do their own thing, and then you got to kill that nigga.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking.
But he was hoping he's hoping as the king, they gonna give all these niggas weapons and not take it. They gonna then as Wakandan go over there too and go start taking over and hope that the black people hear his message and ride with him. And the way that people act when they watch this movie, that's not that beyond plausible that some people see this black nigga riding him with these super weapons with all these black soldiers saying we about to lift over the, we about to, you know, topple the oppression.
The
nigga, they got a lot of people that would ride with this shit not knowing that he murdered a whole bunch of puppies and sheep to get here. You know what I mean? And Tommy Pickles and the fucking Rugrats too.
R.I.P. to the Wakandan House of Puppies.
You hear me? Yes. So they go to M'Baku's spot, asking for help, and M'Baku introduces a great moment in black history where we learn that now we can ape, grunt, / bark at white people when they say things that we don't want them to, that we don't want to hear. And
there's a list of them in the group.
Yes, I started it. I love mine. I'm about to see if I can find it. Oh my God, yes.
You actually...
I know my personal favorite.
In our group, our Wakanda Forever's group, and we is like at almost 800 people at this point. I said, "What are some things that white people should be barked at for?" And
my addition, to it was the phrase, "You know who the real racists are?"
Son, like the reaction, because you know black is mainly black people in this group. You know what I'm saying? And it's just the reactions that people gave to that was freaking hilarious. I'm gonna see if I can find this. But y'all keep going. They visited M'Baku.
So
try to give him the power just to hand it to him.
Yeah, he showed.
Which was obviously fucking the last ditch effort. It's like, it's either him or
nobody else, really.
Like I said, nobody
else. Yeah, they cut off.
Shit, we'd rather have a weird Wakandan against this crazy motherfucker who's trying to. Who's down for world domination.
And M'Baku's so petty, dog. Angela Bassett as the mama, dog. She was like, "My son was murdered in ritual combat." And he said, "Were the odds fair?" She said, "Yes. It was more of a defeat than a murder." You're like, dog, he would not let them live it down, but he's still respectable about the situation because...
Right.
Of course.
But how are you feeling about that whole deal with M'Baku and them in this?
He held their feet over the fire, which was, you know, kind of funny for a second. But, you know, then he makes an honorable move at the end because You know, he's been holding them on ice for the whole time.
All right, here goes some other things from the group of people thinking things that white people should be Mubako grunted or slash barked at. I voted for Obama.
Oh, God.
My weed man black. Everything.
His name is Tyrone. Do you know him?
They should have listened to the officer.
Oh, my God.
You know who the real racists are.
That's mine.
Oh, my guys love your hair whilst reaching their colonizing hands towards it.
Can I tell you something?
No, they got one seat. Oh, no. But I have black friends. Bye, Felicia.
Oh, God.
Nigga put butt. And so a white person says butt.
Ah, no, you about to say something stupid.
Well, actually, but. When you respond, all lives matter, of course. Slavery is over. Get over it. There's one. There's so many, though. Y'all need to come fuck with it. Actually comes up a lot. So it must be a thing that white people say a lot. Well, actually, dog. But that's going to be a thing. Oh, the Irish were slaves, too. Oh. And, oh, that made me almost destroy somebody, dog. Like, I forgot what that thing was for. But, like, yeah, dude. It was like a get-out moment, dude. Black people, we just know. Like, we just have that certain connection about this type of situation. So, in Mubaku's spot, Mubaku gives him T'Challa's body. They give him a piece of Arship Earl and the key is saved. And then T'Challa has a hard conversation with his daddy.
Yeah, and they're like, they actually give him the option to just throw in the towel and just go with them back to the spiritual world. And he's like, no, I gotta go back and fix what y'all messed up. that very tough conversation. I dug that scene a lot. How did you feel about it? Alright, fair enough.
Because like I said, it's not only that conversation they're having. It is that conversation that a lot of us have been having with Africans who are not of the diaspora. So we're talking African Americans talking to Africans like,
you're not black.
We we are you. We're fucking you. So we're not fucking you, but we're fucking you. We're you.
Man, I fuck some of y'all. I love you all. I love us for real.
That is nasty. My love. Accurate.
It's very true. I believe
but
Lil Wayne said it best.
A lot of.
Ew. I'm sorry.
Okay, so just as Gumball Monsters makeup nigga and Gumball Monsters costume nigga, let's be real here. I love the fucking costumes. Even like the base costumes are just chick. They're awesome.
They are.
But they have a very great comic. Oh, just to piggyback, just to go back about him talking to his father. And he tells his father, no, dude, I'm not about to be. We created this mess. You left this man, bro. And we have responsibility to our people. And that's not just Africans just have responsibility to black Americans and black, you know, just in general. We're all, that's our people. We all one. And that's one thing that gets, you know, to the end of the story. You know, that happens in some resolution. But it hurts me at times when I see black people not taking in Africans as they people. That when the motherfucker look exactly like you.
Even going so far,
the culture is different, but that's some
Africans
people.
Are like upset because we wear African clothing. I'm like, we're you!
It's not our fault our shit was cut off, man.
It's like, if we don't know, we're you!
But I'm not going to lie to you, dog. I still feel weird getting called an African American. Because they're actual African Americans from Africa versus the fact that I have no connection or tie even culturally to Africa that naturally, we got to learn it. A lot of them already have it. So it's almost like I'd rather be called a black American even though Africans are black to me, if that makes sense.
Because, that makes more sense to be called black then it's called African American. Because, like I said, if you're from Nigeria and you come here, you're an African
American.
Charlize Theron, in some ways or another, can be considered African, too. But you know,
it's trippy when you get into those technicals like that. It's interesting conversation that happens.
Because like any other country, it's black. Black British, black Canadians, black Australians. And
black around the world have the same anti-black problems, man.
This is very true.
And right. Some people got mad. They said, oh, why the black American got to be the bad guy thug again? It's like, my nigga, dog. Once again, who's making a movie about colorism, for instance? That's a problem in our own home that needs to be solved. You feel me? Somebody got to be the quote-unquote bad guys because they made this bad guy so relatable, dude. It's the problem of we need to connect as one. That's why he's fighting his hardest. He's been traumatized by the situation, dog. It's not like they're just painting him off the dump as Mr. Evil Black American has come to disrupt the system. Nah, man, he got layers to this that y'all don't even want to take the nuance because so many contrarians are just trying so hard to feel special and build their ego to be like, oh, it's no big deal, bitch. Fuck, shut the hell up, dog. I'm tired of y'all niggas talking shit just to hear yourself talk shit just so you can be the weird voice on the other side of the field.
So much blackness. I'm to this day, I'm wildly surprised as to how this much blackness got into one movie. It's like, right, so, yeah. And like I said, there's a lot of shit in this that flies over the heads of white people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, high, like 30,000 feet high over the heads of white people. That we're like, oh. There are actually some fucking, what is it called? Assholes. But, but right wing folks who call Wakanda very quote unquote Trumpian because they don't want to open their borders. They don't want to open their borders because of colonizers like you.
Right, trying to take their shit and go to war from over their shit. And if we get back,
you steal and you rip apart our things, and at the end of the day, you want to take this from us too. Fuck all of you.
And the Black Panther is a very interesting position now. He's not just a superhero. My nigga's a king. And that's a problem that happens in a lot of these comic books where, why he's going to be an Avenger sometimes, and people are like, but we need you. We have different things going on in our world, in our country, that we need a king to step up and handle. They have wars, they have civil wars, they have all sorts of things that go down. And he is thinking of political ramifications. And they hinted at it in this movie, but it's interesting. It's going to be interesting going forward how else they go about it. But, like, he tries to ask Mbaku, like, Mbaku helps him because, you know, he saved Mbaku's life by not killing him in their fight. And he asks Mbaku, Mbaku tell him no. And Mbaku, dude, he's a scene still. Once again, he's another person. Winston Duke makes the most of his minutes. In this film, he makes a definite impression every time we see him. You hear what I'm saying? And so, you know, Black Panther decides, well, I'm about to go head up. I love that scene when Winston Duke gets to interrupt him, though, you done. But Black Panther comes back, he lets it be known, like, look, man, like, I'm not dead, and I didn't submit, so you're not really king. And it's a part where Makabe a bitch again. Mm-hmm. Like, Okoye, like, bro, you don't have to go attack your partner. And even his partner, like, what should we do? And bitch-ass Wakabi still decided to go run up on T'Challa, who's supposed to be his people. Nigga, yesterday we was hugging and petting your rhino. What the fuck?
Just yesterday. We were doing that. But, yeah, I mean, once again, man, I can't make an argument for this character. Not anything in his favor. It's like, yeah, I can shit
see,
on him.
See, that shot you. Right there, once again, set to the side, the lost member Amigos.
Man, I laughed at the fact that when T'Challa walked up, he's like, I did not submit. I know, and as you can see, I'm not dead. And then Michael B. Jordan like, man, that challenge shit done, man. Hey, yeah, ships, go!
Send them weapons out, man.
Fuck this thing, nigga. I'm a kid now, bitch.
Nigga, I done went to the spiritual world, motherfucker. I am the king.
Nigga, what?
That shot is like, there goes the lost member of Migos, set to the side.
He's also under the impression, I imagine, that your boy doesn't have, like, any of his super strength or whatever, right?
He just has the suit. I mean, but that's still...
No, he does have super strength, though. Yeah, they both are equally matched. They both got hurt, herb in their system. You dig? And I don't think he's thinking that deep. He don't give a fuck. Because the thing is about Michael B. character, he's confident anyway, though. He feel like he's going to fight and win regardless. He like, what your ass wants? I'm Gooch. And Wakabi's a hoe, and he sends out his niggas with these beautiful blues. And I love that scene later when they all fight. Because now we got Adore Melaje versus these niggas in blue. And I love these make shields with their freaking garments. Dude, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Yeah, I like that too.
Once again, another thing that I would happily rock. But I have a feeling that he wouldn't let me in certain places. What are you doing with a very large blanket? Don't worry about that.
It's a shield. Mm-hmm. So we have this epic final fight scene, or the lead to the final fight scene. But with the Dormilaje, we see Okoye in action. We have everybody fighting. It's just fighting, dog. I get to see T'Challa take down a rhino. We get to see T'Challa take down kind of people. Shuri's in danger. We see a great scene where Shuri and the Kia tell Martin Freeman, Ross, he got to stay behind and operate this other thing to take down these niggas with these weapons flying around before they get past the borders to get them to the weapons to America. While, like you said earlier, the Kia take the Dora suit for armor, and now they ready for war. Every woman in this film is ready for war. There's even women on the Jabari side that come later when they come and save the day.
Which answered the question from the last episode.
Do they, right, yeah.
Do they have women in the... Yes, they do have women.
Right.
They do have women.
But I was like, can you... Yeah.
You feel me? So, Black Panther and Killmonger, they have this epic fight in the Underground Railroad.
Right.
God! Damn it! That's another one! I wasn't even thinking about that!
Yeah, man.
They have a fight in the Underground Railroad.
Yeah. And I was unimpressed with this final battle. It felt real CG.
My problem with this...
The only thing that I wasn't impressed for was the in-air fighting, because that looks very CG.
Certain things got me when it's really dark, watching these dark behind suits. Because that happened in the first fight when he had the quote-unquote rescue mission for Nakia. Watching his dark-ass suit in the dark is not a fun thing for me. Like, in Civil War, when it's these bright colors, you see every fucking kick-ass that he's doing, it just worked. I don't know why that earlier hunting scene couldn't be in a daylight, even though I don't know why it would make more sense for T'Challa to do his rescue mission at night. But, so all this action is going down, and basically, you know what happens in the end. T'Challa beats Killmonger, and we get to this beautiful thing, and once again, Wakabi being a bitch, but he must submit to his women, and there's this big fucking scene of Okoye stopping the rhino, and...
What's funny about it is the rhino is charging full beat to the point, and then it sees Okoye, stops, and licks its face.
Because we're finally reminded that they're in a relationship, because I feel like they could have shown more of them touching or something.
I would agree with
that. They could have gave them a little bit more romance. Yeah, no, I agree. I think it would have benefited more.
Because what it is you see it in name only.
Right. Yeah, right. Only entitled. Yeah.
Oh my love.
And I said, nigga, I'm from New Orleans, dog. We call everybody love here. You hear me? So I need more than this chick calling this nigga love for me to be like, oh, they so in love. Because this nigga, every time I look around, he's trying to kill her in this goddamn war, in this goddamn fight. And it's like, about that life.
But he's a dude that he you don't really want him on your team anyway, dude. Like not
at one point in that fight, he puts a child even fight Killmonger. He takes off his mask and say, Wakabi, let's end this. We brothers.
Right.
Mokabi run, and that's what he calls the rhinos, like a bitch. He's a bitch.
Like a bitch.
Yeah.
So.
Still in the sunken place. Ain't that a bitch?
Still in the sunken place. So, we finally get to the end of this unfortunate CGI battle.
I don't think it's unfortunate.
You don't think it's unfortunate? Yeah, fair enough. T'Challa takes Eric Killmonger out to, I guess, see the sunset.
It's such a beautiful scene. Who does it?
Which is really dope, and I think is now the subject of a ton of memes.
Before we get to the epic quote that everybody talks about,
right.
In this final death scene, when T'Challa finally beats him by having Shuri cut on the Underground Railroad so now he can fight mano and mano without no powers, he speaks about being a little kid growing up and hearing the stories of this Wakandan sunset that he never thought he'd be able to see, or he was hoping he'd see someday. Because remember, all shit happens in a day. So he's king for like minutes, like hours or some shit.
Yeah.
And like, he just grew up, like his whole thing was, he's still that little kid. You see it in his death. He's still that kid that just wished things could have been different, even though he took the path that he took. So yeah, back to what you were saying about this sunset. When T'Challa, like a real nigga, said, you want to see the sunset of Wakanda, bruh? I'll bring you. And this is the moment that really changes T'Challa, I believe.
The thing that kind of messes me up is like, well, you know, y'all can just fix him. And sure enough, he leans down. He's like, look, I can fix you. He's like, eh, nah, I'm good.
No, but he can't be fixed, dog. He's already too broken. And it serves the story. Even though I love Killmonger as a goddamn villain, dog, he had to die. He had to die just like that on those terms.
You know, I got to disagree, man. I don't think he had to. I thought, you know, this ending works poetically too, but yeah, I would have enjoyed
You know, everybody would enjoy this, and he's going to most likely be brought back to life. Just like in the comics, Killmonger's died twice in the comics. He's been brought back to life in some magical way, and we did not see him get buried. But for the purposes of this story to actually change the hero, he had to die. You can't say the epic-ass line and live.
Okay, and of course...
And he chose it. He died from his own... He chose it, dog.
And of course, I do, seeing as though we have that actor guy here... The of course epic final line of Killmonger's is, are you going to look it up to be sure you're correct?
Oh, bury me with my ancestors that jumped in the oceans off into them ship. No, he said jumped off the ship into the oceans because they knew that death would be better than living in bondage. What the fuck, bro? And bury my ancestors that jumped off those ships. Said, that, my God.
Here's the thing.
For a fucking Marvel Disney movie, dog?
That's hardcore.
Nigga, that is hardcore as fuck, dog.
With that, this is something that most actors are not going to do, but some actors will. And like I said, we have shit on Michael B. Jordan.
His final scene is beautiful.
His final scene is this beautiful.
He acted greatly. Everything. I got nothing to say about his final scene.
He pulled the spear out of him.
He twisted it first.
Yeah.
And then pulls it out. You see, there's a final shot of him. You see the life drain out of his face before he hits the ground.
And killed
Not over. Too many actors will do that. Not too many will do that.
Dude, Michael, dog, I'm not going to hit on your skill, Michael B., dog. I just feel like...
Because you could just, magical movies, you could just hit the ground and call it a night. Mm-hmm. But no.
He sold it to the end.
He sold it all the way to the end. And that's where I was like, yes.
nothing bad can be fucking said, dog. Nothing bad, though. Like, that last scene, son, I mean, like you said, on all the fucking memes, they even got t-shirts and this shit. I can say it right off a t-shirt. Bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships because they knew that death was better than bondage. Come on, son. Like, what? That person has to die. If you say that line, you can't put this man in bondage, okay. Dog. All right.
Yeah.
He has to die, dog. It sells the story. And that with Nakia inspires Black Panther to be like, you know what? We got to help the world because we can't keep creating monsters like this because what? Our people over here, son. And this is a great scene at the end when a spaceship comes in Oakland in the daylight and we find out, damn, son, T'Challa bought the block, bitch.
I'm like, but this is it. We just showing everybody on the block. It's like, it doesn't matter. We just showing all the kids, anybody on the basketball court. Anybody want to come out to the basketball court and see Black Panther and his new spaceship ride tricked out and shit?
The king of Wakanda give a fuck who know his identity, dog? Y'all ain't about to come fuck with T'Challa.
Yeah, man. This is...
He's trying to inspire these kids, and I rock with it because...
It felt very Iron Man-ish.
I mean, I won't call it Iron Man-ish because he told kids. He didn't tell the world. Mm. You know what I mean? Kids could say whatever, but it's like, I love the fact he bought these buildings because the thing that people often say, we'd be trying to get out the hood instead of giving back to the hood and trying to make the hood not the hood. And what he did was he bought like all these buildings he's trying to build within the community, son. And that's, once again, a very direct, in the Marvel movie, a very direct political statement being made once again.
Yeah, and like I said, I think I am 98% sure that Ryan Coogler has naked pictures of Disney executives.
To be able to get away with this shit.
There's naked pictures with Disney executives.
Somebody tried to grab Ryan Coogler's dick at a party one night.
And he told, though.
Yeah, but no, he's like, no, I'll keep it quiet. I got a few contingencies.
It did. So the Black Panther comes back, the spaceship comes.
Okay, fun fact.
I know this kid is everywhere too. He's like goddamn Sterling K.
Brown. One of the kids who is in this final scene is Alex Hibbert, the kid who was little in Moonlight.
And
this is never and.
And he on the Shy right now?
Yeah, he's in the Shy. Yeah, he is. When he also in the new edition movie.
You're thinking of Kelly McLaughlin.
Oh, my bad. Sorry. Mm-mm. Whoops.
Sorry. All those niggas look alike, huh, bro?
Mm-hmm.
But like, yeah.
I ain't gonna lie to you niggas.
You know what I mean? And I feel like this mid-credits scene where I think this should have been part of the actual movie. You know what the instance is in the credits.
Yeah, it's one of those moments. There was a shitty-ass pre-stinger.
This feels like
could have been the movie.
This feels like the end of the movie, yeah. Legitimately, of it him feels- telling the world, coming out to the world, Wakanda is here to be here for you. That seems like that. This would be your Tony Stark moment to me. Like this was because the other ending is not a Tony Stark moment, but this would be this. Okay. Him telling the nation, definitely. I get what you're saying right there.
Okay.
But we got to the whole end of this movie. Don't ask us how and what we're referring to. You should already get it. But it will be deleted very soon because I'm buying this motherfucker. But this is a beautiful movie. This is a beautiful movie. I like the importance of this movie cannot be denied, though. When the contrarians come, they talk that shit. I'm like, are you believing? Are you kidding me, dog? The way that kids are looking up to these. Dog, I wish I had more images of a superpowered black people kicking ass and being the freaking dude. Women, girls. Like I said, I think I said on the last podcast, dog. I saw a little girl just instantly want to be Shuri because you see her being a smart motherfucker, kicking ass and being funny, dog. There's not like anybody's representation don't matter, dog. Eat a few dicks and I hope they're full of AIDS.
Oh, wow.
Damn it, we didn't have a safe word on this one.
Okay.
Shit.
Who knew Mr. Bats would need the safe word?
Obviously, motherfucker.
Okay.
But well. I will say this. When it comes to representation, I do second Mr. Bats. I wish we had that. I mean, for the representation that we did have in the 1990s, it does not compare with this. And like I said, the only thing that I can necessarily compare it with is, of course, Coming to America, because while that is the
what about Medium Man? What about Black Man? What about Blade? And I'm going to say this about motherfucking Blade. Y'all keep bringing up Blade like Blade gave a fuck about black people. Blade didn't give a fuck about black people. Blade only gave a fuck. All thing Blade gave a fuck about was kicking the ass of niggas that was vampires, nigga. If you was a nigga getting your ass whipped by another regular motherfucker, you know what Blade was going to do?
Didn't care about grunt white
and keep walking.
But that's not fair. Blade didn't care about white people.
When Blade made his squad, was there any black people on his squad in Blade 3?
There were no...
He made a squad of white people to ride with him. Even his squad was white.
He was in like Europe.
Blade got whiter and whiter and whiter. Nigga.
He was in fucking Prague. How many black cops?
And then he became Sticky Fingers.
Come on, son.
He literally became a
transformed.
Y'all cannot keep bringing up these dudes.
He's in Prague, man.
Because people start getting mad. Like, oh my God, you act like we never had nothing else. The fact that you could count all the black superheroes on one hand over the past 50 years, that should be telling you something.
And on top of that, Blank Man was a joke.
Comedy film.
Medium Man.
Parody, satire, slash,
and,
and
still was, and it was still like, you still dealt with, like.
Not satire, it's the wrong word.
It was the hood. It was still the hood.
And that's a trippy thing, nigga. You got all these powers and your big villain gonna have to be a nigga that just got guns. You hear me? It's always in the hood. You hear me? Still sucked. You hear me? Blade wasn't even marketed as a superhero. People forget that. And it was rated R. So a lot of kids can even look up to this black quote unquote.
Now, granted, like some kids saw it.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What I'm saying. Spawn was also rated R and it flopped. So y'all trying to bring up all these characters that didn't even do a piece of what this movie's doing.
I enjoyed Spawn.
I enjoyed them all because I was like superhero movies, but we talk about like real numbers and real critical shit. Can't compare it.
It's not like I said, once October comes.
95% black movie? Come on, man.
It's not comparable to any other movie that we've seen before. It is... I've never seen something like this before. I'm at a loss for words because there's never
been anything like this before. He's the first black director to receive this much money to make a film ever. And like, what the fuck? And then Ava follows him with Wrinkle. And so it's like, these are two in our time directors that's getting opportunity to make that white people direct the money on a legit scale.
It just makes you feel happy to be an artist.
Hell yeah.
It makes you feel happy to be a black artist in this time. It makes you...
And people like, what is this doing? This ain't do y'all acting like you're saving the black community. Just give it to the white man, my nigga. With so many people, so many black people in the cast, so many black people in production, so many black people in makeup and hair, so many black people that have jobs and from this film and the sequels to this film and the movies that's gonna be making out, and all executives want to do black films now because black is in all these black people getting jobs, feeding their family, isn't that not given to the black community by seeing this film, making sure that it is successful? The successfulness of this film gives to other black people getting doors and opportunities.
And like I said, I said this a while back, but everybody gets their inspiration from somewhere.
Right.
One of the main reasons that I'm a theater person and an actor and an artist now is because somebody took my ass down to Dillard and I was shown the production of The Wiz. And I was like, holy shit, I could do this for the rest of my life and get paid for it?
Right.
Fuck yes, I'm with this forever.
Right.
And there's going to be, if it hasn't happened already, there is going to be little kids who sat in that theater who watched so many black people do so many things. It's like, holy shit, I can do this.
Right.
And went home.
With his costumes, like, with his makeup, with his acting.
Mommy, I want a camera. Mommy, right. Give me a sewing machine.
Right.
Mommy, can you give me a whole bunch of composition notebooks? Right. I want to write stories.
Right, like, so many ways.
Right. Mommy, give me some Play-Doh so I can make up different characters. That's happening now.
And it's not even just having kids. What's
yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's the interesting part.
I want to do some sci-fi, and I have no idea how, but I'm gonna work that shit out.
It's like the slow tips act like black people can't multitask. Like, can we enjoy this? And it's like they only teach the people the revolution. And they shut the fuck up sometimes. Can we enjoy shit? Can we have some joy? Can we have some motherfucking joy? We see ourselves killed all day on TV. Can we get some joy?
According to Joe Biden.
No. To quote. Another great black work that is on Netflix. That is why I'm not boycotting shit.
Chris Rock show so amazing. But
sometimes being carefree of black is an act of revolution.
Yeah, man. Thank you for this.
This movie is fucking amazing, and it's already influenced people, and it makes me happy.
And I just can only imagine the sequel. The Dark Knight to this Batman Begins. What?
Yeah, this is a dope...
World of Wakanda.
Not even really an origin story, but a great beginning, a great starting point. Yeah.
Shout out to the Wakanda House of Puppies.
Shout out. Rebuilding. Hashtag GoFundMe. This was... I'm glad to actually be a part of this. Yeah, there's nothing like it. There's nothing around, nothing in memory at least, but I'm glad to sort of be a part of this, and I'm hoping, I'm keeping my fingers crossed that, you know, this is the first of many, that they're actual...
Because goddamn black cells.
Well, the thing is, there's going to be a lot of rushes, there's going to be a lot of misfires here, because, you know, everybody's going to try to get... a Black Panther or a
primary
a hit of this magnitude, you know what I'm saying, people are going to be trying to chase this sort of thing. So it's like, hopefully it doesn't happen in a way where we lose sort of the skill and the patience that it took to sort of make this. Like, this wasn't just thrown together. Right. There was a lot of time and thought and craft put into it.
I mean, Michael B. actually grew out his dreads for this.
Oh, did he really?
That's really his hair.
Fair enough. Okay, cool. See, didn't even know that. All right, cool.
Side bang.
But, I think whatever the next step is, whatever the next thing is that tries to, you know, tackle the same demographic, like, hopefully, this isn't the only one. You know, hopefully this is one impossible of many.
The money that this thing racking in, it's like, you go back to what you just said. Niggas going to be making a reference.
They're just going to, yeah, it's just
going to... Someone's going to trust. Yeah. If not, they want to bet on black because they see what betting on black can do.
Oh, please.
Like, even though we've been showing them for decades.
Please, yeah. Please, boss, let every person who was in this have some sort of deal where they get some of this money on the back end.
They were supposed to.
Oh, my God.
Disney too large to fuck over niggas with their residuals. They're going to get their money. So any final
thoughts? And they take care of them, too. Like, well, shit. Yeah, they take care of them.
Honestly, any final thoughts on this joint, man, as we wrap this on?
Oh,
man.
My... Why... If you haven't watched this movie,
well, it's impossible now. If you get well, to the end of this podcast,
well, we probably destroyed it for you. Completely. But, you know, still watch it. Watch it anyway.
Watch it again, even with keep watching.
Be wrapped up in the blackness, like a big black blanket.
I once again like reliving this whole thing. I am kind of seeing it through a couple different, just through a couple different angles that I was able to sort of. Look over again a second time. Not really able to see it a second time, and also reviewing it in another sort of sleepy state. You know, still kind of feeling the same way about it. I still hold fast to my not loving it, but really, really, really liking it.
I mean, won't lie for you, but I'll fuck you for a while.
Yeah, it's kind of like you ain't the one. But maybe the one is to come, you know. Oh, and
double word on kind
of. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Because there's always Black Panther 2. So, you know, but yeah, this movie also had a lot to live up to for me. You know, it was sort of just preconceived expectations and whatnot. And for the most part, I had a great time. It lived up. It lived up to most of those.
Are you done yet?
So yeah, but no, I enjoyed it. I'm gonna go see it again, even though there's no more review left to do
about it. But speaking of non-Marvel person in the group, this made me want to see other Marvel movies, which is in the end. Fucking gold.
You know, and a lot of people have said that. I know a lot of people that's going back and watched other Marvel movies off of this movie, of all things.
It's cool that it gets you involved in wanting them to watch more of the movies, but the thing is that like this one is so isolated that it's like you're not really going to find a lot of connective tissue between this and anything other than Civil War, really. You know what I'm saying? Like, those two are the only two things that are...
But this sets up the future.
Yeah, it does set up the future, yeah. True.
It sets up the future.
And I think it's worth the journey.
Because if you watch Infinity War without Black Panther, you're not going to take any significance the exact same way. So, and Infinity War is this huge fucking deal coming in May. That's a couple of months.
Which means so many racist-ass nerds are going to have to watch Black Panther.
You have to, because it's going to connect them to what's going to happen with Black Panther and Wakanda and Infinity War.
They will.
Watch your racist inevitable.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
But yeah, guys, y'all don't even understand, but we've been podcasting, and it's like almost 2 in the morning, dog. We did it for y'all, so we're not as sprightly as we were when we started this thing.
A ton of makeup on.
From your plate.
Want you to know that, ladies and gentlemen. As many folks would say, I am beat for the gods. And I'm going to go home and do the Viola Davis thing. Shout out to Viola Davis.
Oh my God.
Said she was more than happy to shave her head and get into the next sequel.
Dude.
I don't care. I'll do it, goddammit.
Everybody's trying to be in the sequel, man. Like, the sequel's gonna be lit, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing.
Awesome.
But years from now, we can still enjoy this movie. Like, yeah. This movie's beast.
Go see it again if you haven't already.
Please. Yeah, go see it again. If anything, this podcast is the one to say, go see it again. This isn't the go see it podcast. You're an idiot if you listen to this if you didn't see it.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't call you an idiot because some people like to just listen to spoiler casts even if they ain't seen shit for some reason.
I'm not going to give this black movie my money, but I'll give these black podcasters my time.
To let them break it down to me so I don't have to spend my money.
Yeah.
But definitely go see it again.
And don't freeze.
And never freeze. And tell us what you think, man. Flowerbats@gmail.com as well as...
You do know the email, don't you?
Yes, lowrainpictures@gmail.com.
Yeah, you know, we'd love to hear your feedback, man. It just seems like the talk of the town. Like I said, we started a group just to talk spoiler shits, and the bitch grew like 800 people in like 5 days just off of black people being so excited to talk about Black Panther. It's just becoming a freaking unifying force.
It's like being wrapped up in joy.
Because, dude, we're coming off the heels of watching us be killed in snuff films.
I just...
Like, that's what the police in America has been showing us as black people.
Whoopi Goldberg has a monologue in a Star Trek movie, and just it sounds exactly like what Wakanda is. He's like, you're not going to want to do anything. You're just going to want to stay. If you just replace the Nexus with Wakanda, that's all. You're just going to want to stay in Wakanda. And you're not going to want to come back.
Basically. Basically, man. They created a world that we always forget to or want to create. And it's just hilarious seeing people saying banning R. Kelly. And like, people just...
R. Kelly?
He's been banned from Wakanda. Y'all saw that shit? Yeah,
R. Kelly is banned from Wakanda.
And people were like, oh, you're banned. We're not letting
you in. He wants his own door. And we were like, fuck that shit!
No, thank you.
Kanye, bring it. Take care of this, please.
So this is that sleepy actor guy, Martin Bat's Bradford. You can find me on all your social media platforms at Mr. Bat. Spell it Mr. Outer. You ain't gonna find me. And once again, dog, appreciate y'all listening and riding this, you know, this Wakandan tour with us. Because once again, we are brothers in this. Beautiful movie. Can't wait to see more. Ryan Coogler.
When we leave here, we're going to dap off the Wakanda way. We are.
I mean, it's not dying. Shouts out to that teacher that does it to her students. Like, that joint.
Yeah, no, right?
With the mask on, I'm like, God damn it, I love you.
You dig?
I love us for real.
So we got motherfuckers.
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can find Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. That's my
name.
Said
Soulboy Snap.
So Soulboy 30. If you still deal with it after that bullshit update, that's LWeber584. And you can also find me on arrogantobserversrants.blogspot.com. The cat never freezes.
You can find me, Marty. You can find me, Marty, M-A-R-T-Y, Edwards 504. On Instagram, Twitter, and still on Snap of the Chat. And go to lowrainpictures.com and, go to episode 158 and write a comment and you might win a prize.
My nigga was bitch ass Wakabi said, after trying to kill this woman, we forgot to even mention this part. I just want to throw this part. After trying to kill this woman throughout the whole movie, where she finally got the upper hand on his ass, would you kill me, my love? Nigga, for my country? Yes. Wakanda forever, nigga. We spoke on it, but I just love that little entertainment. She was like, nah, nigga, for my country, nigga, you is dying, nigga. I'm that bitch. Which, yeah, Okoye forever. You hear me? So, like, yes. Thanks for listening, y'all. We going to sleep and shit.
We are.
Fuck with us.
Appreciate you.
Wakanda forever.